You're listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to fakeologist.com/audio chat. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists from all over the world. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. Please search for Fakeologist Audio Chat and Fakeologist Main Show on your favorite podcast app. To listen to the live stream, go to fakeologist.com/radio3. Now, on with the audio chat.
Well, all right, here we are on Fakeologist Audio Chat. It's Wednesday, the 19th of September, 2018. I'm being joined by Napoleon Wilson. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, OS.
Hello.
Original Stimulant. We're in our echo chamber here. Rachel from Liverpool. Are you there?
I am.
Yep. And we're Tom Dalper from Nutsmeg.
He's actually from... fucking mute, you cunt.
He's from Cambridge. Yeah, mute, you cunt. All right, so we've got Tom Dalpro, we've got Rachel, we've got Original Stimulant, we've got Napoleon Wilson. And what was the topic of conversation before I rudely interrupted?
The talented Mr. Tom Cruise.
The talented Mr. Tom Cruise?
Yes.
He's the short man.
Respect. I found a new respect for him after watching the films where he throws himself into a part.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, the physical side of being one of these actors that, you know, gets stuck into films. And it came from, we digressed from talking about Brad Pitt in a bodysuit, and that was Rachel.
That was so. It, that's right. You were talking about Lou Ferrigno, or how do you pronounce that? Ferrigno?
Ferrigno, I think. However he wants to.
Yeah, and Rachel was saying something about a bodysuit, and like it takes a lot of work to, I mean, how much work have you done, like... Denny, when you go whack, 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 whack on the weights, your body does build up.
I only used to do it just to keep myself fit when I stopped working, when I was working properly. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with it, but when I was doing something physical, obviously, it only takes a good diet and, you know, a good day's working before you know you are in shape. But when I wasn't doing anything like that, I just did as much as I needed to keep off the calories. So,
sure.
You know.
But this day and age, though... This day and age, we live in the age of CGI, and they can actually put muscles and whatever on you. And have you seen, as awful as it was, that bloody awful, what was it, Terminator Genesis? All right. It was wonderful to see Arnie young again, but how much bloody time and effort must it have taken for those CGI artists to make him look young again and fight with his old self and whatnot? Did you see that beginning bit? It was actually quite interesting.
Yeah, I've put Brad in the live stream chat.
Cool.
I just think that looks like a bodysuit.
Yeah.
Just the way it moves, his stomach.
Yep.
I didn't make that one, so I just robbed it off somebody else who did it.
That's all right.
Plagiarism.
Ooh. Every word we say is plagiarism. Like, you guys were talking about... who was it the other night? You were talking about, what was his name? Who's the guy that wrote all those classic stories back?
Not Hitler,
thank you, OS. Back in the day, Shakespeare, right? Shakespeare came up with that word, assassination, assassination.
Can we just ask Original Simulant to mute his mic while he's watching the Brad Pitt GIF, because he's making a bit of a heavy breathing.
No worries. Yeah, so assassination. all words, everything. In this new age now with hate speech or whatever they're doing, with this Proclamation 13 or whatever they're trying to do in Europe, in the European Union, seems to be something that we should resist. What do you reckon, Napoleon?
I think you should be allowed to say what you want within reason. There's a certain pecking order to what you can say, and I'm down with... basically not having groups of people shouting about another group of people. But singular persons, I think, should be allowed to say what they want. I'll be honest with you.
What is Proclamation 13? I've heard about it, but I haven't had a chance to look into it.
Yeah, it's insane. And we've been joined by announcer Sol for day, Frank. G'day, Frank.
Ni hao.
Ni hao. How you doing, man? How's those viruses going, man?
Those what?
The viruses. You said you got a virus the other day or something to me.
No, my computer, I bought a new computer and it's just been giving me...
Curry?
That's the word.
That's the word.
Jim Curry.
Yeah. We didn't get you here on 9/11. I thought you missing from the whole 9/11 part one, part two here on Fakeologist.com was a massive, massive loss, but... there you go.
I don't know much about 9/11 anyway, brother, so it's not really...
Oh, come on.
It's really my thing.
Anyway, we're joined by Tom Dalpra. We're here with Sorveem. I think he's on mute, just listening. Rachel, original stimulant. Our echo chamber, Napoleon. Danny, I'm going to go for a smoke, and I'll be right back, because I've got to do a couple of things, and I'll be back in a few minutes. Who shall I pass it over to? Rachel, because she's really good at running a discussion. Yeah. Rachel and her abs. Blast. What color undies you wearing, Rachel?
I want to have a smoke.
So what is the problem with 13 say? Is it like
beach law or
something? What is it, Danny?
I've no idea. I don't know.
Something like they tried to pass it. Do you know, Tom?
In front of me, it'd be easy to find. You just Google it. I mean, I could, but I just want to say I do apologise for my
output. What number was it?
For Rolo. It's just, he drags us, it's instantly into live stream. I didn't ask. No one asked him anything. He was there just lurking, and then suddenly, boom, pulled in. And anyway, sorry, you were saying.
What was the number? 37?
13 or something, wasn't it? You said? Something 13. Go on, I'll Google it.
I thought it was 37. Proclamation 37. I have heard of it, but...
Cool.
Fuck,
what are we talking about here? Original, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Wanted to know about something 13?
Well, they were talking about some free speech thing, right? And I thought I'd heard it brought up on another podcast, or
yeah,
another call before, but I wasn't real sure what it was in reference to specifically.
Well, I know it is something to do with free speech, but I don't know enough to say anything more about it than that, really. I'd know it didn't pass.
A European thing?
Yeah, European Union.
The European Parliament has voted in favour of a controversial new copyright directive that could force tech giants to do much more to stop the spread of copyrighted material on their platforms.
Oh, have they voted for it, have they? EU is nothing but like a. It's just a way of passing fraudulent laws. The EU, you know, ones that just.
That was a telling sigh, wasn't it?
Well, that's as much as, you know. What can I say? It's 28 governments against the people. That's what the EU is about.
Well, you know, if you've got a grievance, you can take it to their arbitration system in Basel or where Davos or whatever the hell, wherever it is.
European Court.
They have
take it to the European Court of Law, you know. But we have to take it.
Their idea of democracy is that. To have people in the European Parliament, they have to be members of a political party. Then you have your vote, which is proportional representation, but the people that you vote in, they aren't actually people, it's the party you vote in. And the party gets to choose the people who govern that party. So, for example, Nigel Farage... when the UK was in, could never be voted out. If we talked about Nigel Farage and his plane crash, but whatever you think of it, he couldn't be voted out because the way the proportional representation would work, it would, like, the first seat is the easiest one to get. So if they have one part member of UKIP, it would be Nigel Farage, even if you manage to knock it down to one, because the party gets to choose. It's not the people who are voters in or not. There's no, you know, so therefore the people who are paid to say that, you know, you can't vote out the bad people because it's bad by nature.
Right. You can only vote out like certain certain seats of the party, right? Like they win a certain amount of seats. Is that true?
It's proportional representation, so it's not like constituencies. So you can have the same argument that we're first past the post, but you vote for an actual, like in the UK elections, if you think how they work, is I don't vote for Tony Blair or Theresa May. That's rubbish. They go on about that, but that's not. I vote for a member of parliament to represent me. In the EU, you have to be a member of a party. You can't stand as an independent. Independents aren't allowed in the EU. It's got to be parties, and then the party gets to choose who they vote. So if you really hate that person, like Nigel Farage is one I can say. If you really hated Nigel Farage and you think, I'll vote for somebody else, he's always going to get a seat because you don't get to choose. The party gets to choose. And that's what they call democracy.
Yep. Sounds about right. So yeah. Now there's three mobs. And the top one. Bills.
So if you wanted to, say you had, I guess you just said you can't vote that person out. If you had some shit guy, or it's not even a guy though, right? Is it? It's just the party. It doesn't matter.
You vote for the party, and they get to choose who.
It's all very Soviet.
Yeah, so yeah.
Like, there's one party, you know.
At least you've got the concept where, I mean, they have safe seats in the UK, so there's no way you're going to vote out certain MPs because of the safe. But in theory, if a lot of people got together and decided that they really hated that MP, they could actually vote him out, you know, at the next election. But what I'm saying is that's an impossibility under PR using EU laws, rules, because the PR, it's the proportion of votes. So it just gets
more and more convoluted.
Yeah,
so that's how you get, like, bizarre, like, kind of minority party in there, right, but with only, like, a certain amount of seats, but then they are able to later, like, draw more. Isn't it supposed to, like, foster, what are their buzzwords? Like, foster, like, what's the word? Like, compromise and, like, working together and stuff. But really, it's just, like, just sucking all these other people into the one, you know, the one
goal. Yeah, but you just know the type of people that will be in each of the parties. And that, you know, they're not for the people. And hence you get laws. You just get the law on and on and create more laws. But we don't need any more laws. Oh, yes, we do. No, we don't. We do. I mean, they've got to give themselves a job of making themselves more and more laws. Do you think where this is going to be like in 100 years? Like another 100 years of Parliament making more and more and more and more laws?
They keep doing it with pop music. Doing it with actors. It's one big cycle. That's what it is. Do you know, I was thinking this the other day, and I wanted to ask Frank, because I put it in the chat. Frank, is King Solomon tied to... Oh, shit, who is it? It's the Twin Towers. What the fuck was it? And Nebuchadnezzar was the reincarnation of... Saddam Hussein. So when they blame Saddam Hussein, that's pretty much like blaming Nebuchadnezzar for burning down at Solomon's temple. So I typed that in, and it come up with that. What did you call it?
Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel.
Yeah, that sounds a bit like Zapruder to me. What is Zerubbabel? Because that's what I wanted to find out off the top.
I don't know that. I haven't heard that reference before. The biblical reference that I thought was good was about Samson pushing the pillars apart to collapse the temple, and that also killed 3,000 people.
The Philistine wedding or whatever, right?
But, yeah. Well, no, what I was referring to is because September 11th happened on the Coptic New Year.
Yeah, I read the thing.
So, and his side is he not to the Coptics?
Yeah, I read what you said. I thought it made sense to me, but I wasn't familiar with that story before.
Oh, right. Because I only come across it, but I knew Freeman Fly's information. I'd learned that a while back.
Zerubbabel was the first guy. So you have Nebuchadnezzar who, like, destroys the sacks Jerusalem, right? But then you have Zerubbabel who later returns with – he takes the Jews out of exile and returns with them to Jerusalem to rebuild the second temple. So sometimes the second temple is called the temple of Zerubbabel or Zorobabel. Some people, you know, there's a few different pronunciations. But
yeah,
this is under under Darius or Darius, the after Cyrus the Great.
Who, and I think that's the period when they lost their language for 70 years. So the original meaning of the language was lost. They had to reconstruct it.
Could be. There was you know, Cyrus when Persia overtook Babylon or whatever, then Cyrus, I think it was, or at least his son, but I think it was Cyrus who frees the Jews from captivity, lets them return to rebuild the temple, and then his son Darius later finds, you know, according to the story, finds the proclamation of his father, which says that they will help to rebuild the temple. And they were really popular because they kind of allowed the pagan peoples to kind of have their gods back, you know, instead of like enforcing their Babylonian system on them. They let them have their local tribal deities back and stuff. But this was, that was Darius. There was something like Herod's or whatever that was like talked about how Donald Trump was compared to the new Darius for moving the U.S., for the U.S. recognizing the capital being Jerusalem in Israel recently. So Tel Aviv. So you see these motifs and these archetypes played out over and over, of course, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And these characters like coming back, so to speak, you know. What does the witch in Endor say?
It's not really done very subtly either, is it? I mean, it's very blatant now.
I think so, right? You have all these characters in history seem to have that kind of stuff, right? Abraham Lincoln. You know, Abraham. He's iconic.
You just wonder if they wrote the Bible, you know, last week just to fit the script sometimes.
Yeah, or if it's just the playbook. Who knows? Could be 2 weeks old. It could be 2,000 years old. It could be 2 million years old. You know?
One thing we can be sure about. It's not 2 years.
That actually is a certain age, though, isn't it?
Yes, it must be certain age. We can tell the Bible is quite a certain age.
I'm sure that's a birthday.
It did actually come from somewhere at a certain point in time.
Yeah. All things do, right? So
you say the basic playbook, like you say, is there. Yeah, absolutely.
At least in the West, I think it seems to be. But yeah, that Nebuchadnezzar thing, like Denny brought up, I always thought was interesting. But I don't know. You know, they say that the story is that Saddam Hussein viewed himself as the second Nebuchadnezzar, but I don't know if that's true at all. I think that might just be that we said he viewed himself as the second Nebuchadnezzar or the reincarnation of Nebuchadnezzar or whatever.
But I don't have the view that there was any sort of rebellion going on with Saddam Hussein. Saddam Hussein was just another one of the, you know, the guys that control the planet, really, as far as I can work out, or one of, you know, playing his role for that period of time.
Sure, but I mean, I'm just saying.
I don't think he's dead or anything, if that's
sure, but as far as the story goes, you know, there was a idea. Yeah, that's all I'm saying. Nebuchadnezzar, I think, had a redemption, at least in the Christian aspect. It's different in Islam. I think he has a different ending in Islam. But I think in the Western Christian tradition, he was in, like, it was Nebuchadnezzar who was there, who Daniel and the three other, his three friends or whatever in the furnace. That was, or Daniel and his two other friends in the furnace or whatever. That was Nebuchadnezzar. And then Nebuchadnezzar has the fall, where he's like wandering around eating grass like an animal. There's the famous William Blake painting. But I think he has like a turnaround where he ends up being a believer. But I can't quite remember if that's the narrative or not.
Yeah, so that's, way, you know, right. That's what's in the Old Testament.
That is, yeah. But either way, the U.S.
Yeah,
like,
he ends up acknowledging the one God and following him, yeah.
Because, he's the one that has a massive statue.
Prophet Daniel actually becomes a governor in Babylon.
Under him. Yeah. And after he interprets his dreams.
Yeah. I'm sorry to interrupt you. After he interprets his dream. And after the fourth man in the furnace, when the Holy Spirit appears in the furnace, according to the story. But the U.S. didn't give him any chance for any redemption, you know, according to that myth either. They just went in there and hung him unceremoniously.
Well, they invaded twice, but they didn't kill him twice.
Right. True.
They said they killed a lot of other people, but they didn't kill the leader of the country two times in a row. That always mystified me.
Yeah, mystified the right word, probably.
Like a big plot hole.
Well, what I was thinking was, is it's obviously, you know, this blame with Osama bin Laden for, you know, the mainstream media story. So for the biblical person, you can say this is, you know, this is Nebuchadnezzar burning down Solomon's temple. That's all I was saying. So, you know, it just...
Yeah,
it just,
I thought it all made sense, you know.
Yeah, it's just funny because, is that narrative, obviously, I can't say it's a coincidence because it is a bit funny. Obviously, attaching all the stuff from Nebuchadnezzar to Saddam Hussein, whether it's true or not. And they did go in there, didn't they? You know, they invaded, or fake invaded Iraq.
Well, the reason history repeats itself is because they keep repeating it, isn't it?
Pretty much.
The story's written. The greatest story ever told, they call it. Why, you know, why would you want to deviate from the greatest story ever told? Why would you want to have
best film ever, Planet of the Apes?
Why would you want to have hamburger if you can have steak? Why would you want to hook up with that Dr. Seuss if you can have bright eyes?
It's just another narrative attached to that advent of the date, basically.
And this is that regular text discussion I have with Zell about the Bible. Zell says the Bible has no value at all. But if you want to know the playbook, you need to read the Bible.
I mean, it would seem like these people have put a great deal of stock in it.
Absolutely.
Know? People like Zell, subconsciously, Zell. I said hello. The word hello has got deliberately got hell in it, but he didn't like that. He was like, "Oh no!"
he immediately reacts to it.
yeah. You see what I mean? So, I might not be right, but we're all influenced by it. Yeah, so all pervasive evil, the good evil, the devil.
The story of good and evil is the gift of the, because until the apple was eaten. There was good and evil, but we weren't designed to recognize it. The story is that we've got no idea what good and evil is until we eat the apple.
I think if you look at it one way, you could say that you just don't know what evil is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe all you know is good.
It's good. That's a good way to put it, actually. I never thought of that before, but that's a very powerful idea.
Yeah.
And I don't think people do. I think people are absolutely rubbish at working out what evil is.
I think they're pretty bad at working out. If you focus on if they can figure out what good is, that's tough enough. That's tough enough, really.
Yeah.
I mean, I work with a guy. He just told me the other day, he said, all I want to do, he's 30, I think. He said, all I want to do is know what the right thing to do is. That's what he says. Yeah. He said, well, I mean, this is his words, not mine. He says, that's all I want. All I want to know is what the right thing to do is.
And that's probably the most difficult thing to find out, isn't it?
But that is the right thing to do. Wanting that is the right thing to do.
Sure, it is. But it's not like there's an ingrained idea that, like, a good is this, like, the good thing or whatever is this easily discernible choice that's, like, always right in your hand that you always know exactly what the good, you know?
Well, more you follow your conscience, the more you understand good and evil.
Of course, you know.
Because your discernment becomes more refined.
Your morality becomes...
But you're defined...
Have you got any theory to back that idea up? Is there any literature, Daniel, that you could point to? I mean, intuitively what you're saying sounds correct, but is there any, papers or work you can think of?
Well, just let me ask you this. Do you have a voice of conscience within you?
In my opinion, I do, yes. I feel that I do, yeah. But it's a model.
I believe we all do. And I don't think we need any sources for it because we have it ourselves.
Yeah, okay. So you don't know of any written theosophical
Yeah, there's book books and books and books written about it. But the best books I've read about it are the patristic writings of the Holy Fathers of the earlier centuries of Christianity.
Okay, I'll look at it. So anyone in particular? You've got a particular favorite?
St. Maximus the Confessor is really good. Mainly the four books called the Philokalia, which means love of the good. That's a good book set to read.
Thank you.
That's free online.
Do you know how to spell
I can post links to that.
Oh, that's good. Great. In the chat.
Yeah, okay.
Thanks, Danny.
I'd like to say that, is there really such a thing as good and evil? I mean, what are we talking about here? You're defining something that's as evil. I'm not sure I can. Bad stuff, and there's good stuff. There's stuff that's positive to you and your environment, and there's stuff that has a detrimental effect to you and your environment, behaviour or whatever. What's evil? I that word comes to me from the Bible. Talked about that being a made up story to control people. So why am I buying that?
Yeah. Well, I think, and that was the reason the reason I was asking Daniel for some text is to, you know, obviously these topics are topics that people have stopped discussing largely. And we've kind of walked away from centuries or some fairly powerfully written logical arguments that are available to help us formulate our ideas on these things, and I think to our loss. I mean, if we get all of our morality from watching Walt Disney movies, I think we're doing ourselves a disservice.
I mean, the moral playbook is not the sole an ownership of Walt Disney, but.
But it currently is, I think. I would argue that the moral playbook of most people under the age of 30 comes straight out of Walt Disney.
I'm back, and thank you, Frank. Everything comes from Disney. I mean, we live in Disney World in our minds sometimes. I uploaded a Vox Pop, and I'm going to start doing some more of these, which are where I meet strangers, and I talk about 9/11 and things like
that. Rolo?
Yeah, but what I do is I stick the camera in their face and talk about it, and
I mean,
I didn't get a chance. I spoke to the Dragon Boys the other night, and I didn't get much of a chance with those guys. I mean, because they're doing their job. I mean, I don't want to get in the road, and there were bloody fans all over the place. So I'm trying my best just to... I got Mark Williams, the lead singer of Dragon, to say fakeologist.com or something. You know, I thought that was pretty cool. But to get John Laws and whatnot. But I think Vox Popping is probably the best way to go. So I met a guy, Dick, called himself. And, yeah, he's a cool guy. And we just sat down and we had a few drinks. And we didn't come back after the break because you know why? I slammed down a couple of bodies and we ended up getting talking and we ended up moving off to a brothel, I think.
Moving to a brothel, all right.
Yeah, I went to a brothel and just, yeah, ended up cheating on my wife. No, I didn't. But, yeah, so that's what I'm going to do. Plenty of different, I'm just bullshitting. I'm just bullshitting, and I've got plenty of different things. Some of them are easier to watch than others.
We're having a very pleasant conversation. You've come in and started talking about your fucking dick or something.
Yes, I put it into general, so only fakeologists that are member verified can actually go and watch it. So you have to go to verified. It's not like you have to pay, because to be a part of fakeologists.com, You can be a, what do you call it, a donor or just a one-off payment or whatever. But I think the John LeBron model seems to work better. I don't know if it works totally where you have to pay to get in, to get the truth or whatever, but I'd like to help Ab out the best way I can. And because I smoke a lot and I drink a lot, I'd rather keep my money with a packet of fags and, like, a case of beers. You know what I mean?
Well, and anyway. In all the hookers as well. I mean, if you go into a blog...
No. I was only joking about the hookers.
I bet the madam said to you, what do you want? You said, oh, fuck it, let's have a lot. I said, let's have a lot all at once. Yeah, well, you got to live, haven't you? Because you only live once. And, yes, we're only living once.
Thanks, Dean. It's for everybody else. Those links are in the live stream show notes.
Live stream show notes. Let's go there and have a look. What did you put in?
So
we're talking, talking about religion before, weren't we?
Yeah, before you got onto brothels.
Good and evil.
Yeah, sorry about that, mate.
I would say that evil, though, is like the opposition to what is good.
Yeah. That good doesn't really have an opposite, does it?
No, the opposition to it.
Bad.
The opposition to it.
I see evil as a misuse of what is made good.
Mm-hmm.
And everything is made good, but it can be misused.
Okay.
I like that definition, Daniel.
Yeah, that's basically how I see it.
Good.
I mean, I kind of agree with that, really. Yeah, absolutely. It's a way we sort of... Yeah, it's just a word, isn't it, ultimately, at the end of the day?
We're preoccupied with defining how it is to other people or something, or what it would mean for us. But really, it's up to the person who's had it put upon them to say what it is or isn't, really. Now, because the person who commits the evil to someone else will always say that it wasn't evil. They'll always say that they had the best intentions, you know. But it's really up to the victim to say whether it was or wasn't, you know. So,
the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
I knew you were going to say that, Frank! I was waiting for the first one to say it.
This idea of intentionality having any kind of real value is kind of shit, in my opinion. It's not It's not a lot. You know, everyone thinks their intentions are good, by and large. Unless they're, specifically, have maladjusted intentions, which some people do. But
treat everyone equally. Treat everyone equally, and me. If I meet a stranger and I'm interviewing them, it's the same as if I'm interviewing. Yeah, don't put anyone on a pedestal.
Look, if every child
except me, of course.
If every child has to have a vaccine, I'm not going to treat my child equally and say that he does too. I don't believe in
that. Well, isn't that on your pedestal?
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. I guess a little bit.
And
stop calling me out for being a hypocrite here.
The word equal to me has been written into me to give you triggers. It's like Pavlov's, he's like the dog.
Absolutely,
you know.
Tom.
Absolutely. So I resist in not embracing it, if you like, or the word. It's written in the language. The word live, of course, is evil in reverse. So if you go against the grain, if you like, you find evil. You live. I mean, the English language certainly has been, is written into it to an extent. And we even have, the Apple iPhone with the bite out of it nowadays. It's still there, isn't it? It's still this trigger, this control mechanism, this evil, so I reject the concept of it in a sense of it's merely semantics, really. But on that word, I, to a certain extent, resist it.
The apple with the bite out could also represent the knowledge of good and evil, too. I mean, it can also represent good. I mean, it doesn't have to represent... It's what is now. You know, it's not the ideal of...
It's the fall of...
That's where we're at, but... Would you rather be the apple or the android? Would you rather be the... I'd rather be the human than the human biting the apple than I would rather be the android. If those are your two choices, operating systems, give me the human. You know, fallen or not, right?
But it's from the Bible, which we've already talked about, being a moral playbook by the people who seek to control us.
And Elvis lives within you. Elvis lives within you, Tom.
Night of Evil was an album by Black Sabbath.
Hallelujah.
That was awesome.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. Tom does the best glory, glory.
Live music. Everyone calls it live music, live music, live music. So you've got the word evil everywhere. When there's kind of rock and roll, when there's big stuff, live stuff, live, and it's the word evil. There it is. in reverse. You know, if you live in the opposite direction, you find evil.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff, isn't it? It's right there. It's all embracing.
So how do you deal with it, Tom? What's your, to give an example, what I've tended to do is accept the biblical view that the Lamb of God has saved us all from this punishment of knowing good and evil. So we're not really being judged for that anymore. We just live our lives. How do you respond to it all, your ideas of good and evil? How does it play out in your life?
I think, as we started talking about earlier, there's a certain amount of instinct and there's a certain amount of common sense and there's a certain amount of, you know, the good things that Silverbeam was talking about, the positive things, just what seems that at the time to you is good. I don't know where it will go.
What I think is the key issue is for people that find themselves undertaking decisions that they know are wrong, but for some reason they talk themselves into doing it, either because their employer has told them to do it or something. A perfect example is the idea that if you're a soldier and someone of you says, oh, you've got to go and kill that guy, that you are then required to do that killing, because it turns out that it doesn't matter if Adolf Hitler told you to do it, you are still the person who pulled the trigger. You are the one, in biblical terms, that's responsible for those actions.
Does that make you evil? You know, you take it into a court of law, would he be the one completely to blame? You know, does he get a reduced sentence? Or is it the mafia boss that told him to go and kill the person, you know?
Okay, so where it plays out for me in that action is that at the end of the day, the person that pulled the trigger is the killer, whereas we often see movies painted as the evil guy is the one who paid the gunman to do it. Certainly the guy that pays the gunman to do it is whatever, but it's pulling the trigger. That is the act.
This is why I think to take it back to the biblical thing, not saying this is all the truth, but, you know, this is why they say even one sin is worthy of hell. Basically saying that they're all kind of, you know, you're not going to be able to subdivide these things into a hierarchy of, like, you know, who did what degree of accountability are you responsible? You know, it's like, octopus, but we all have our own parts to play in it, and if there's some judgment, we'll be judged accordingly for it. But if you try to live your life on some line of grading the minutiae of, like, how much evil am I doing, how much sin am I committing, you know, versus, like, just barely toe over the line, or is it, like, full into it, you know, that's kind of reflects your mindset, too, which is probably a somewhat maladjusted mindset.
Yeah, or even further, where the Catholic Church allowed you to go and kill someone on the basis that you then paid to have your sin made whole again by the purchase of I've forgotten what the name of them.
Indulgences.
Indulgences, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, these are all, you know, it's a mess. It'd be best to do as, you know, just do what is good and you won't have to worry about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's only words, isn't it? We all understand good and bad stuff. Do you know what I mean? It's just about words, really.
Yeah, you understand it to the degree that you're capable of understanding it. So that's, I mean, as long as you do that, what more can be asked from you, I guess?
Is a good soldier a good person? Is the question, isn't it?
Maybe some not. It's all, yeah. I mean, I don't know.
A good soldier is prepared to go and do to kill for king and country, apparently. That would be the broad definition of a good soldier.
Yeah, well, if it's a good king, then he's a good soldier.
Yeah.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
So again, if I go back to my discussion about Disneyland, we often see films about, you know, the noble warrior serving the good king, and then his son comes in and he's a bastard, but, you know, the noble warrior's code of honor prevents him from walking away from the, you know, all that sort of stuff. And we always have these movies about the moral dilemma of good and evil.
Yeah, that's why I said there's worse morality than Disney World to be, you know. There's worse things than Disney puts out to be worried
really?
About. You just follow the Disney script. You'll be okay. do what's good. Treat people nicely, you know.
Yeah, it's still nicey, isn't it? There's no harm there, really. It's kind of
overcoming obstacles, you know.
Yeah, you'll end up with a great social credit score too.
That's right, in China.
Is there such thing as an evil force, though? It's kind of like
an objective evil thing. Like no,
yes. So my view is that the rebellion against the creator is being. I think everything is being played at biblically at the moment. I haven't been able to disprove that model.
I believe you there, Frank. I really do. Scripted as well.
I'm not saying I believe it. I'm not trying not to believe it. But my observation is that the world seems to be playing out to the biblical model, and you see rebellion against creation and the creator.
But is there some ontological force that it exists like apart and separate, where you know like Sauron, you know?
Yes, I think. So.
But
that's essentially what I think. Yeah.
If you could imagine a world. If you could snap your fingers and if you believe that there's evil in the world right now, you could snap your fingers and all humans would disappear for a second. Would there be any evil in the world still? Would the world still have evil present in it?
So well, according to the biblical, oh, sorry, Frank.
Go ahead, Jane.
Yeah, according to the biblical model, there would still be evil in the world, yeah, because when Adam fell, he brought the whole creation down with him because he was the head of creation. He brought the whole creation. That's why animals kill each other. Prior to that, they didn't kill each other. The state in the Garden of Eden was a state in between corruption and incorruption. It was neither perfect nor imperfect. There was a decision to be made by the inhabitants of the garden, see?
There's no such thing as
we chose the downward path, like, of disobedience.
Well, I didn't choose that. But there's no such thing as, like, anything less than perfect is imperfect by default. I mean, it's, you know, the closest thing.
Well, that's not necessarily true. That's only based on our experience of a fallen world.
So you'd think it's evil that a bird would eat a worm when it buries the worm?
I don't think the bird is morally evil. I think it is an evil. There's two different ways of using the word evil. There's to commit evil, which is to, like, morally do an evil act. And then there is an evil that you experience, such as a thunderstorm that destroys your house. That's also known as an evil, in the technical use of the word. So when I say there's still evil in nature, I mean that type of evil, not moral evil where acts are committed.
Yeah, I understand. I don't really believe any evil, and I believe nature is not evil at all. I think it's good, but that evil exists in man. In the heart
it's
of
good if you've got a house.
Evil is a man-made construct. Yeah, I think that's good, original.
It's in the heart of man. I don't know if it's a man-made construct. But without men, I don't think there's evil. You know,
I think you should follow your heart. Anyway, I don't think you should, believe a book necessarily.
But I see what you're saying. It's, according to the model, I get you. You know, I understand where you're coming from with that too. You know.
Yeah, and I know Harold was not talking. You know.
I've got a house.
Just talking about.
I've got an ounce of salt coming today. Apparently, Frank, is that right?
It's probably about 12 ounces, I think. Hello?
Yeah, I'm gonna open the box and I'm gonna put it on video and I'm gonna eat the whole lot in one go.
The box is so I've sent you a takeaway container full of salt with a box. In the package, so you have to put the box together.
Yeah, I'll do it.
And then you have to get a little plastic bag to put the salt in.
Yeah.
And eating 12 ounces of salt in one sitting.
Yeah. Not good for you.
I would love to see you try and do that.
All right.
I would love to see you put one spoonful of salt in your mouth and swallow it.
Be careful with
salt. But to my knowledge, it is
don't worry, Tom.
Impossible to do.
Don't worry, Tom. I know what I'm doing. When it comes to magic tricks, I know what I'm doing.
But I can tell you that the lethal dose in 50% of cases, according to the the work done in the
salt mines.
In the camps of World War II, on all those poor people.
To torture people and kill them by making them eat salt. Yeah, this came out of the Second World War, did it?
Yeah, and they worked out that it was. I'm being facetious about all that, of course, dear listeners.
Could be facetious. It's all right.
The lethal dose, I think, is about 300 grams. So if you can swallow 300 grams of salt in one sitting, you'll have a 50% chance of dying.
Oh, my God. Well, that's a lot of salt, because I've got 250 grams of it sitting right next to me, mould and sea salt flakes, which I do love, a drop of sea salt on the... that is like a box of... It's about 6 inches by 2 inches.
Yes, yeah.
3 inches, sort of rectangle. 6 inches by three. Yeah, that would be a large amount of salt.
What I'll do is I'll do a magic trick. Like, I'll put something there that I know won't kill me, and then just crunch it down and say it's like Frank salt or something like that, you know.
Just remember, anything that affects, anything that that harms the image of my company, Rollo.
But I will not do that. I will not do that. Yeah, look, when I drank a bottle of, what was it? What's that scotch? It really, that nasty, cheap red label.
Johnny Walker, red label.
Johnny Walker, and all I did is just got the tea leaves, boiled it up, got it looking like scotch, exactly the same, and then just filled the bottle with cold tea. That's all I did, and then I just slammed it down. I just did it for a laugh. You know, it's like, people will believe it sometimes, yeah. Wasn't damaging the brand. I just, they thought I was just damaging myself. It's just the way you do it. I mean, Sam Newman did that on, you'd well know, the Footy Show. Sam Newman. He's always out to big note himself. Like, he had Pamela Anderson painted on the front of his house. Remember that?
You know that guy? He must be 75 now, is he?
Yeah, yeah. You know, that was one of the, apparently the happiest things he ever did was had sex with Pamela Anderson. I say, good luck to you. If that's, you know, your goal in life, well done.
Yeah.
I think Tommy Lee did it a couple of times, as far as I'm aware. You know, the drummer from...
They were Motley Crue. They were fucking...
Motley Crue, yeah. I think he did it a few times.
Yeah. Yeah. And we've really got down to this level. Fucking Pamela Anderson now.
I know, it's stupid. Let's get back on track. Go on, Frank. You always remember what we were.
Salt. Frank. Yes, come Frank, on, back now. To salt. Back
it's
to salt.
Sense it was serious.
Well, the idea, the discussion of good and evil, I think, is the most important discussion in our lives, I think.
It's undoubtedly something that's used to control us, isn't it? One of the great
tools. The other thing used to control us is the fear of death.
Yeah. Of course that would be sought to be controlled, because it is an obvious natural fear. It would appear to animals who are cognizant. Are we the only...
You've touched on the other idea that I heard someone say the other day, that animals are not self-aware. That doesn't seem right to me when I think about my dog.
I'm not sure we understand that, yeah, the animals. We're animals.
They're aware of other animals, so they must be aware of the self. You know, if they're trying to mate and things like that.
So your consensus is the idea that animals are not self-aware may not be true. Is that what you're saying?
It doesn't make sense, does it? Because then otherwise they wouldn't mate. They wouldn't, you know, they have no interest in themselves. And you do have to come to some complex mating routines, and some animals are self-aware, even spiders.
So the reason I think that that's an important issue is because of the discussion of good and evil, where we, you know, animals are killing each other. Are they aware of good and evil? And this touches back to the point that Daniel was saying. The idea is that the world was corrupted by the fall of man, that up until then, lions didn't behave like lions do now.
Ah, so that's where the lion lying down with the lion.
Exactly.
Right, got you. It sounds
after it's been Mandela affected by the wolf and so on.
Right, yeah. I've heard different versions. Yeah, it doesn't sound right to me, but I don't know.
I think we as humans try to overcomplicate things. That's what we do. We try to outthink things. In your little job, okay, here we go. We're gonna make some concrete here. Okay, so we got the concrete powder. I mean, how do I make the concrete? You can't know everything about everything. There's no way.
We can't play every musical instrument.
Yeah, I know.
Mom, we're getting there, but halfway there now. If you let us carry on, come on.
Rollo, is really the whole biblical story. We can't know everything, and we weren't intended to know everything. But when we ate the apple, we decided that we wanted to know everything. That's the whole biblical story.
Why didn't Noah put kangaroos, like a pair of kangaroos? Because they didn't even know about kangaroos back then. Because it's a made-up story.
How do you know that Noah didn't put kangaroos in?
Because there's no kangaroos in the Bible.
What, because there's no kangaroos in the picture books you looked at?
No. Yeah, they weren't mentioned. There were no bacteria.
It doesn't have a list of animals, Rollo.
Well, I'm sure kangaroos were mentioned.
I'm not an agnostic. I'm a non-theist. I'm a non-theist. If you can't tell, I'm a non-theist. That means... not an atheist.
We'll be a floating zoo. We'll get some green alligators and long neck geese.
Exactly. I'm not on Richard Dawkins' side, and I'm not on who's the other side? Who would you say is on the other side? On Jesus' side? Yeah. No, I'm not on my side either.
They don't get a figurehead. They're just open to ridicule.
It's a non-theist. That means. There's something going on, but there's no way we are ever going to know about it because there's something going on, but we're not going to know about it. It's just too clever. It's just, this life is just too clever. And, yeah.
Sorry. Go, Tom. Sorry, mate. It's a bit like the flat earth discussion, flat or round.
Oh, good Lord.
Good or evil. Oh. But, you know, atheist or
well, evil's man-made, it is
exactly like it, Tom. I agree. These are the salient points in our world, aren't they? If it turns out that in the case of the flat Earth discussion, my biggest problem is that everybody is a flat earther in denial. Is everyone a good person in denial?
Yeah. It's flat by default. That's the shortest way of saying it. And, you know, if you want to go into raptures and put, you know, trickery in front of your face, you can. But it literally is flat by default. What are you left with?
The default position is that it's flat because we all assume it's flat. Is the default position that the world is good because we assume it's good?
I think a lot of people say it could be better in their lives, but it's still right.
But the things that make it rubbish... building roads all over it and stupid buildings that no one occupies and making people live in Geelong and go and work in Mordialloc, spending 5 hours of the day. You know, it's hell. Sitting in those car parks that are 90 kilometres long, that is my definition of hell. Especially if you have to listen to, you know, a young man and young woman babble on in their radio incessantly at you for the next 2 hours, talking about their toenails.
Oh, yeah, but what they can do now, Frank, is, like, download podcasts and put it into their, and they can listen to fakeologists.com all day long.
They can listen to you and me, Babylon. It would just drive them. Imagine how that's going to go down. What more source of hell could you want?
That's hell on earth, you reckon, Frank? that trip that we had from Geelong to Avalon,
stuck in your car on your trip from Geelong to Mordialloc to get to your job, and no matter what time you start, you're never going to get there on time. And then you're listening to you and me talk on that radio while you're there. What other source of pain could you want than that?
Hey, apparently I triggered Silverbeam.
Why is he?
What triggered him? What did I do that triggered you, Silver? What did I say?
Hey, well, that's a private message, silly. You're off your head.
No, I'm not.
No, I'm not. No, nothing.
If it's private, it's private. So that's in.
So you don't mention private messages? Well, sorry. Hey, Silverbeam, I didn't get the memo.
There's a codicil of good and evil.
Look, I didn't get the memo. Silver.
Internet etiquette, I don't understand.
Well, obviously I didn't get the internet etiquette memo.
Yeah, oh well, I'll fill you in later.
All right, well, I bet you will. Look, how did I trigger then? Anyway, so tell me. Come on, what did I do wrong?
Obviously I don't want to talk about it or I wouldn't have insisted that it was private.
All right then, mate. Sorry, I don't want to have a fight. This is not the room for a fight.
I don't know what you want to have, but Frank was talking and it was interesting.
All right, go Frank. Frank.
If you believe in the...
Frank's question was a good one.
What, if you believe in it or you don't believe in it, then...
Is the world good by default? That's a belting question.
Zealot both ways.
But an animal killing another animal, that's just a cycle of life. It's born with that, the bone of instincts. So, no evil attached to that.
Orvids can have... when a bird dies, they can gather around and have a kind of a wake.
Some magpies mate for life, and if one dies, you know, they don't mate. You know, birds mate for some birds mate for life, sure, so, you know, self-aware, yeah, evil, no.
See lots of behaviours in animals, but it's interesting that idea of something that set the human beings apart from the, isn't it? That's the remarkable thing a bit, isn't it? You walk around and you think, oh yeah, as Frank says, we're building these roads, all these buildings and everything, and all this, the animals, they ain't built shit, the other animals, all the other animals, none of them. You know, it's just us. You know, it sets us apart. We bit the apple or whatever. What is this essential fall of man? This suddenly the thing that sets us apart. This is one of the essential questions. And perhaps it is a good philosophical sort of, conversation. Interesting, but...
Well, you know, if I can say something here, from the biblical point of view, the thing that sets us apart from the animals isn't the fact that we're fallen or that. It's the fact that we're made in the image of God. Right? So when we say, are animals self-aware? We're kind of looking for the dividing line between human and animal. But it's something in the spirit, you know. It's not the fact that we're fallen. Do you know what I'm saying?
Okay, yeah. That we have a connection to spirit unlike the animals. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and also the fact that we build things and invent things is because we're creative, because we have that part of God in us, that image of him is... that we're creative, that there's aspects to it, like the fact that we are free is part of the image, the fact that we can reason and think rationally is part of the image of God, yeah, and the fact that we create things. So it's how we use nature that determines, you know, our experience of it. It's not, I guess what I'm saying is I don't completely agree with Frank that building things is bad in itself, you know, or inventing things or creating technology. I think it can be used well, you know, if our priority is to be in the image of God and not more like an animal, you know what I mean?
Yeah, okay, I mean...
What about Native American Indians who base most of their religion on spirits of animals?
Yeah, well, the American Indians had a very advanced and refined religion, yeah, they actually believed in one creator spirit called Wakantunka, or that's mm-hmm. one word for it. And they believed in, you know, ancestral spirits and things like that. And they had shamans and stuff. But that's more of a, you know, from a biblical point of view, again, that's people looking for an answer. Whereas if you believe in the Bible, you think that that's been revealed to us and that God has stepped in and said, look, something's gone wrong here. Here's a book, here's prophets, here's saints, you know, here's people who are close to me and they'll help you, you know.
Do you not see the Bible as a delivery system for control?
It has been that way, and in the Western history, definitely for the last 1,000 years since there were popes and the phenomenon of Caesaropapism, you know, where the Pope acts like Caesar, that happened in Western Europe and, you know, in the Western nations, and that happened for the last 1,000 years. You know, there was, you know, we know all about the indulgences and the Crusades and the, you know, the Catholic Church. But I believe that in the Eastern part of the Empire, and through to the Russian Empire, that they actually, they didn't go that way with the Pope system, and they maintained a true Christianity, and I think they're a good example of how... Yeah, but see, that part of history has been obscured through our education. Everything is focused on Middle Ages, yeah, well, the West, well, the Dark Ages,
I've thought for a number of years, my mate, I thought that the only way we could have got to where we are now and with the missing years of history would have been with kings, and that's the importance of bloodlines now. Otherwise, everybody would be wanting to be the son of a pope. You know what I mean?
Well, the thing is, there was a line of emperors from Constantine in the 4th century right up through to just 100 years ago in Tsar Nicholas II, I think it was. And it ended with him. But what I'm saying is that tradition of Christianity didn't get corrupted in the East. It was corrupted in the West through the Catholic tradition, which I disagree with. But I agree with the Eastern tradition, which was maintained. And I think I think that part of this idea that religion is a control system, it's led to a lot of ignorance about religion and the history of religion. And I think it's a really important part of the puzzle.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, yeah, let me ask you all your ideas, because I've put it in chat. I wanted to ask you, because it was mentioning the Coptic Church and Solomon. Is there anything to do with the Ark of the Covenant?
Well, there's legends about the Ark being held by the Coptic Church. Oh, no, by the Ethiopian Church, I think it is. Now, they have a link to the Coptic Church in that they are they separated from the main church.
They didn't think Jesus was divine or divine and human.
I can't remember exactly why they broke off, but it was one of these heresies about the nature of Christ or the nature of the Mother of God or something along those lines. And there was a disagreement, and they didn't go with the decision of the council at the time. They went against it, so they've always been separated from the main church.
Trying to tie the Ark of the Covenant with Judy Wood now. Just letting you know.
All right. Like in a Raiders of the Lost Ark style.
Yeah. So there you go. If anything pops into your mind, if anything crazy like that, let us know.
And let's just say that we've been joined by Dave J. Dave J, welcome to the conversation. Thank you, Silver.
Greetings.
Yep. They're talking about the Ark of the Covenant. And
hello.
What was how are we tying that in with... Judy Wood.
Right, I'll give everyone the lowdown quickly.
Yep.
September the 11th happened on September the 11th, and that's the new Coptic New Year's. And the first place they invaded was Saddam Hussein, I can't remember, anyway. But they went in there, and everyone was going on about Saddam Hussein being the reincarnation of Nebuchadnezzar, and it's to do with all the Moabites and the shock and all. But Nebuchadnezzar actually burnt down Solomon's temple as well, so if you think about it, that makes sense. You've got the two mythical, whatever, I've been about all there. And then I'm trying to tie Judy Wood with the Ark of the Covenant, and that's where we go up to.
There we go.
But yeah, good stuff. Like I say, something it's really interesting, man. If you know your stuff.
Yeah, Judy Wood looks as old as the Ark of the Covenant.
Is that not far official. Or maybe like partway through, someone ran in Indiana Jones and put one of them, them dummies out. Fire extinguisher.
Alright.
We're just trying to work out that most stuff run on a biblical narrative as well as the pretend narrative we get about people going into a certain country and looking for a boogeyman,
right,
so to speak. So, the
Ethiopian church that kept the Book of Enoch, didn't it? That was the only church that kept the Book of Enoch as one of the kind of.
You're talking the Coptic?
Yeah.
Yeah, them as well as the Ethiopians.
Ethiopia, that was big. Live Aid was a big one about Ethiopia famine relief, wasn't it?
I just wish more boogeymen would wear white suits.
Where have the white suited boogeymen gone? Yes.
Rolling safari.
Be more sort of cheerful. You can see them at a distance.
Right.
That's what I was thinking there, because pretty much, that stuff about Saddam Hussein was pretty much forced down your throat if you were on the internet at the time by Freeman Fly. I mean, it was made a lot of sense with the lingo that the American government was using during the invasion. Yeah.
No, is it just fabricated over a few different outlets? No.
Well, I was checking out the Google machine on the interwebs the other day, and so apparently, DJ, you really do cut to the chase when it comes to the way you, you know, nobody died, nobody got hurt. Everyone knows that now from you. But you've got your, I was just having a look at it before. Your system, the way you have come to view the world.
You mean the mind?
Yeah,
computer?
That one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you did a 3-hour chat with John LeBon on johnlebon.com. Yeah, and you came for that to get out. And here we go. Frank's back. Frank's back. So look, Dave. I mean, I never understood where you and Frank were coming from for a certain point of view, but now I've certainly I like keeping it real. So when I go up to say someone from a famous band, whoever, because I'm going to go and try and meet Susie Quattro and I don't know, the guys from the Angels and
who's that?
This is next year. I'm trying to organize that through Exoteric, and we're going to, just go and meet real people. And so I'm starting to do a Vox Pops. So if you go to the members only section, you have to be verified here at fakeologist.com. Go in and have a look. I did a interview with Dick the other night. Really cool guy. It only went for 5 minutes . You've heard it before, but maybe new fakeologists might get something out of it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, fakeologists for newbies, I call it. Vox Pops. Yeah. Normies. Do we call them normies or retards? Remember?
I don't do any of that, yeah.
No, you get in lots of trouble. Yeah, just people that are not awake to some of the stuff that we've been... like, seriously, some of the closest people to me still, you can't talk about no planes on 9/11 and things like that. You know, it's just strange. That's why I don't have that many people close to me.
I wouldn't recommend talking about no planes on 9/11 because we don't know, do we? You don't know. I don't know.
I do. I do know for a fact. And so
they might have mixed it up. What
I do as well, yeah.
There is absolutely no chance a plane at 500 miles an hour is going to hit a tower, and it's just for a fact that didn't happen.
It's the cowardice. It truly is the cowardice of people that that purport to be in a position of looking into certain things. It's their cowardice that never allows other people out of the trap. Is it they themselves can't be trusted to come up with an actual, position?
But it's a fact.
They're what I call fence.
There's no planes on that way.
They're just like birds on a fence. You know, they just sit on the fence the whole time.
Yeah. Are you saying I'm sitting on the fence by saying you don't know if there was planes or not?
I don't know. Put up a picture of yourself right now, and I could tell you.
Okay, let me say what I think happened on 9/11. Absolutely. The footage we saw, we can talk about no planes there because it's fucking faked, isn't it? It's fake planes going in. And yes, indeed, Riley, you can't just talk to people all the time about that at all. They won't fucking get it at all, will they? No, that's fake. But the whole big picture of 9/11 on that day in New York, down at Ground Zero, would it have been sensible to have no planes involved in that stunt? Maybe.
Yeah, of course it makes.
I don't know, Dave. I haven't looked
into it. There are no planes. There are no planes from Pennsylvania, the Pentagon, and or the Twin Towers.
The thing that Jones kept showing looked like a missile going into the Pentagon.
No, it wasn't. It was just controlled demolition of a small section.
Yeah, of course. I get it. Yeah, okay. Was it like,
It's much more complicated to believe all this, the missile theory and all the other nonsense. It's much more simple if you're going to pull off a hoax just to do a controlled demolition of a small portion of a building. It's very controlled, and you get the end result you're looking for. There's no chance that a so-called missile fired won't go off and go crazy and hit the gas station across the street. You know? It's all very controlled. This is all a controlled environment you live in.
And you live in it as well?
Not mentally. Physically I do, but not mentally. See, I've grown out of it.
Ooh.
So if you want to take... Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, don't put me in your boat. I'm not in your boat.
But in my boat? Because you're different from me. You're in a different boat.
No. I'm floating above your boat. You look like a little ant from where I'm looking. You look like a little ant floating around in a little boat.
Oh, see, Dave, wind it up, mate. Wind it up, fucking hell. People are gonna think fucking listening to an old fucking audio. I know, but just thinking in your head, look, Tom's a good guy. You're just fucking picking things. But at the end of the day, he's asking questions.
He's a good guy when I'm in the room, but I've heard him when I'm not around. He runs his mouth still to this day, so I know what he is. I can still hear his tone. It's like an undercurrent. What they call it, it's called a riptide. When you go to the beach, it all looks nice and calm and maybe a few waves, but there's a riptide underneath that's pulling you under. You listen to him long enough, you'll get pulled right back under.
Still at sea, soldier.
What are you talking about? Were you a soldier? Is that what you're claiming?
He's in the Navy, sir, weren't you?
Yeah, that's a sailor. Come on, man. Get with the program. A sailor is in the Navy. It's not a soldier. A soldier is in the Army.
Well, you're
a soldier. And a Marine is called a Marine. It's not called a sailor and or a soldier. It's called simply a Marine. And then somebody who's in the Air Force is called an Airedale. Or an airman.
I said you're at sea. That was my first thing. That's right. Mm-hmm. That's what naval people do. What you did for 10 years.
Not always. There's, in fact, the Navy has more personnel on land than does the Marines and or the Air Force.
And hence they run most. And hence naval intelligence runs most of the psyops. Is that right?
I wouldn't have any idea. I was never part of it.
We have no idea about
it. Is that what you're claiming? Are you claiming I have something to do with it?
No, I'm wondering about.
So then, I just got done telling you I didn't, but then you wanted to continue running your mouth. So did you have something to add?
Well, I was trying to say something. Yeah. What do you know about naval intelligence? Because I was going to say, I would think what we're talking about with PSYOPs, obviously. The it comes from exactly that place, I would think. But you've been 10 years in, you never saw any of it at all in the military,
As far as intelligence during the 10 years I was in? No, not too much. But you're talking about like organized intelligence? No. I had nothing to do with it, nor did I see it.
So the only last question I have, because it's getting late here, it's like got to get up in the morning and stuff, but what do you think of it, though? Do you think that naval intelligence would run a lot of the site? It's when, you know, naval or military intelligence is an important cog in the mechanism of
real control. Depending on what type of medium you're using, if you're using, you know, like a sea-based or a ferry-based, you know, hoax, yeah, Navy intelligence might have something to do with it because they would have assets at the pier level and at the harbor level. If it's something inland, you're probably going to be dealing with more like an Army intelligence because they deal more with inland-type environments. If you're dealing with something that's kind of overseas that deals with, you know, that type of environment, probably the Marines, which would, of course, be naval intelligence. But you have different sections of it. So it just depends on where you're going to pull the hoax off and what environment you're trying to pull it off in. Like with 9/11, you had a lot of different environments. You had the land environment, but you also had the harbor environment because it was very close to using the same thing. Plus, you had the air environment being airplanes, so you had Air Force intelligence involved as well. At the end of the day, though, they're all part of the same military, so it's all under the same roof.
Okay. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, thanks for that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. No, I mean, and also, I'm in the room now, so you've heard me out of the room doing what? Shooting my mouth off? What? I don't know what you're talking about. If you've got a problem, just talk to me about it. But other than that, all right, easy, and carry on.
Yeah.
So, Dave, what do you think of Velvet using your sound bites and having arguments back and forth?
It doesn't matter.
Did you hear that?
With myself?
With other people.
Oh,
Velocet's got like a keyboard, so he can just go bang, 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 and have arguments with people with your voice.
Oh, I've heard part of that on one of the calls the other week.
Yeah, oh, it's a classic. Oh man, I laugh so hard. With a guy called Uninstall Media. He's an American that went to England and.
No, I saw that.
They're fighting back and forth with you, and you weren't even there.
Oh, I heard. I saw the audio was uploaded, but I hadn't heard.
Yeah, you got to listen to it. It's great. There's nothing about life, you know, that when you have a laugh like that, I don't mind it. When my voice gets taken out of context, yeah, it's all good. That's right. The trouble, the problem I have is when people get biblical.
It's not good. Fucking good. They fucking just shouts at fucking everyone. It's bollocks. It's one of the fucking stupidest things I've ever heard.
Rage for me, bud. Continue.
Right? I'm telling you, mate.
Get hot. Make it happen.
Yeah. No, but it is. You know what I mean?
Your best at just ignoring.
It's ignoring.
Oh, bless. It's muted now. I feel bad. I'm the one that's going to bed. It's like 20 to 11. And I'm going to bed. It can't help.
You just got to be nice to people. All he does is come in and shut down the company.
You could say something. Say something. Everybody's waiting.
I don't know. I went to the cinema tomorrow. I got a front seat at the back. A lady gave me a plain cake with currants in, so I had it and give it back. Dave, just go away, man. You're an idiot.
You've been watching too much. Hey, Valid, you've been watching too much Talk to Who.
I can't even stand the soundboard. Soundboard's annoying enough.
Yeah, well.
Right, we'll play the game then. Play the game. Come on, play the game. Let's all talk. I'll be quiet.
There once was a lady from the Azores whose cunt was covered in sores. Not a dog in the street would eat the green meat which hung in festoons from her drawers. Bang! Someone actually left on that. On that note.
Yeah, thanks, Tom.
Going. See you later.
That's too funny. Oh dear, gee. That was a good poem. That's called a limerick, isn't it?
I don't know.
Roses are red, violets are blue. You shit me to tears. I'm going down the pub. I said that to John Laws once. Maybe I say it to Dave J. He's all right. He's not that bad. Oh dear, dear. It's Silverbeam sometimes gets a little bit perturbed with when you talk religion or. Now I spoke out of turn. What did I do? I did a. A wrong thing. An internet wrong thing where he find that message. I'm going to say it again. Don't worry. Don't worry. I mean, I'm not here to make enemies. I said sorry. Sorry, dude. Please forgive me. That he was triggered by something. Fuck if I know what it was. It'd be nice to know what triggered him. You know what I mean? Huh. It'd be nice to know. But maybe the whole idea that he sent me a PM and he was triggered, and I mentioned it, the triggering. You know what I mean? You know, I fucked if I know what I did.
Triggered's a strong word nowadays, I suppose, but, you know, don't worry about it.
It's retarded. It's
not really worth chatting about, really, is it?
Yeah. You don't know me well enough.
Rachel, just tell us about your bodysuit again. Go on, let me know if you could say something right at the beginning.
About the body suit. I was just looking at Brad pictures, and, you know, he's quite slim in some, and some he's got a big muscly, and I reckon the one that I put in the, the live stream chat, I definitely think that's a body suit. I think they've just bulked him up with prosthetics. I mean, I've done a bit of research on it. They do the moulds of the body, and then they use clay to build, you know, to build out. Well, they do that with faces, but they could equally do it with the body, and then they remould it, and then they put it on the body. It's not like rocket science in the sense of it's much easier for them to get somebody who builds people's bodies out of clay to do that, then get Brad Pitt to spend 3 months taking whatever hormones to bulk up his body and do loads of exercise. It just seems to me it's a no-brainer that you'd go with the... You get it perfect, then, if you're doing clay. I'll have to put more pictures up of the clay stuff that they do. You know, to get that nice... and then they just mould it in... what was it, latex?
If I were you, I'd stop saying it's not rocket science, because that is... that. You know what I mean? Because that's losing its weight now. That's pretty much anybody can do that. You've got to say rocket surgeon.
Yeah. That's like the two Ronnie's clip where one's a rocket scientist and the other one's a brain surgeon. Quite funny, that one.
Now, I have to interject with a slightly related to the body part thing. Dave, I found out that Tony Blair's been... formative years in Australia today. Yesterday.
Did you? Very interesting.
Isn't it?
Yes, it is. Where was he hanging out?
In Adelaide, in the same place that Julia Gillard, who in my opinion is Jodie Foster with body parts things on, hung out.
Interesting. And where did that come from? Did that come from a news source, or did it come from...
I heard it. I just heard it from... you know, my just living my life, someone mentioned it to me.
Oh.
And now I've just found out this morning that it's true. I could even post a link. I can even...
Yeah. No, that would be interesting to see, but no.
Sorry, what was true? I missed that because I was ringing John Law's producers.
Don't trigger Rollo.
Oh, no,
I love triggering Rollo, though. Come on.
I just rang. I just rang one... Hey, I just rang 1-300-564-652. Lawsy hurt his back on September 10th, and he's coming back next Monday. So next Monday, everybody ring 1-300-564-652 and talk about no planes.
I promise.
So what was true?
To not ring him.
So what's true, Frank? What were you saying? What's true?
Tony Blair spent his formative years, well, not his, in his early childhood in Adelaide.
Wow.
When his father was lecturing in Adelaide, at the University of Adelaide. In fact, his father lectured in law at the University of Adelaide. He's got all the credentials, actually, Dave, hasn't he?
Yep.
Very interesting.
You should be in jail, if you ask me, but that's just me.
Why would you put him in jail?
I know.
He looks a lot like Tony Rabbit there too, DJ. Have you had a look at that picture I posted?
No, I haven't seen it yet. It's in general unverified?
No, it's live stream show notes only.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
He's really looking rabbity there.
Yeah. I think I used that picture once.
I reckon you probably used it from the wiki then. Or maybe wiki took it from you.
Yeah, there you go. All I know is
you're not going to trigger me. I mean, Dave, Jay, you mocked him into Tony Abbott, but that's all right. Don't worry.
Every time I changed Wikipedia, they always changed it back on me.
That thing you were saying the other day, did you say that you put the coordinates of some hurricane?
No.
What was that? What did you say?
That was the Bundy Ranch hoax that they had. I changed the coordinates of it to the Bunny Ranch, which was a whorehouse.
I was listening to that the other day. I was laughing so hard.
And
that's so funny. Yeah.
It lasted over a day or so on the Wikipedia before they caught it.
Oh God, I love practical. I mean, that's not a practical joke. It's just keep it real. That's
right.
Hilarious. Good on you.
Yeah, no worries.
Oh, God, I need a good laugh sometimes. I don't laugh that much these days. When you get older, it takes a lot to make me laugh. But yeah.
Is it good or bad to laugh, Rollo?
I like it. It makes me feel good. Yeah, when you've got, there was this thing the other day where a guy was pretending to walk against the wind.
Was it fucking Anderson Cooper or one of those lunatics? The people in the background are just walking around normally. Whereas the guy in front of the camera is there going, like, it's just fuck. That, I mean, what the fuck's not to laugh about that? It's just hilarious. Because right. They're trying to promote the Weather Channel or something, or promote a hurricane.
Yeah.
It is funny. I like it.
You've been laughing quite a bit, actually, as far as I can tell, this evening. That's good. Oh, so Frank, did you have an opinion on that, on laughter being good or bad?
No. We had it before you came on. We were discussing the nature of good and evil.
Ah.
And unfortunately, my audio played up. While we're in the throes of it, it was. I was quite enjoying the discussion, but the moment's gone, Dave. But I just enjoyed the idea of it's good to laugh. Is it good or is it bad?
I think it's good.
Yeah.
Oh, why do you think it's good?
It makes me feel good. I mean, especially when something really makes you laugh.
What if you're laughing at the misfortune of people in Auschwitz?
That's even funnier.
Right.
Oh, you're going to the gulag now, Dave.
What about the misfortune of all those people that jumped out of the windows on 9/11?
Could you imagine right before he jumps out of the window, he stubs his toe? He's like, oh, gosh, darn it. And then he falls out the window. It's like that insult to injury.
But what about, it's not funny when they're growing as they fall down the building, though, is it? They get really, really huge.
It's kind of funny.
You got to cock your leg. You got to go upside down, cock your leg, and do that sort of, yeah.
And look like a tarot card.
Yeah, the tarot card. That's the one.
Yeah, you got to. What's so funny about that is that same position is the same position that a lot of these hoaxes use. The Trayvon Martin, the so-called Russian ambassador. Every time they show you the dummy on the ground, they're always with the leg cocked behind the knee. Just like the hangman.
Okay, I know something that you shouldn't laugh at, and that's the underwear bomber.
Yeah.
That's not funny.
That's pretty funny.
What's the underwear bomber?
Have you not seen the picture of him?
Come on, Rachel!
Have you not seen the picture? Have you not seen the picture of that guy? That's pretty funny stuff.
After Google.
I'm going to have to find the underwear bomber now. I'm going to have to be a Marcus Allen.
Is he
the one with the golden skin? Golden skin marks? I don't know.
The underwear bomber. Okay, I'm Googling it.
The underwear bomber left a skid mark 5 miles long. That was the...
And what colour undies was he wearing? I can't remember.
He was working for the CIA.
Umar Farouk Abdul Muttalib.
Oh, good lord.
I haven't got a picture of him.
And you can laugh at my pronunciation too, or pronunciation, whatever it
is. Oh, that's a Red Simons gag, that one, pronunciation. Yeah, he loves saying that.
Oh, Silverbeam says I'm not funny. Oh, shucks.
And
my heart's broken now.
Did you disclose a private
message? My heart's broken now.
How can you mend a broken heart?
The 2009 underwear bomber plot.
Mm-hmm. That's the one.
That's not funny. It's not good to laugh at that.
I don't remember this. I mean, I'll stop watching the news now. It's all crap, isn't it?
It's all crap.
You know, if everybody stopped watching the news, maybe they'd get fed up and do of actually doing this stuff.
Yeah.
But they're not actually doing anything. They're only doing the news. There's no actual stuff.
Get worn out.
You know what I mean. Right, there you go. Put a picture up.
One of the yummiest things that happened to me the other day is I spoke to Luke Biskin on my own personal phone back and forward. That was great. Luke Biskin.
The man.
Took my call.
He's like your fan because he's following you on...
No, I don't think he's my fan. I'm just saying that I think he's a raging hot talent, and Frank just happened to be in one of his videos, and I think with the right whatever luck or whatever you call it, synchronicity or whatever you want to call it, he could be
the basis of this is the same.
Yeah. If you worked hard at it. Yeah, go, Rach.
You just have to get your beard longer if you want to be in videos, Rolly. You know that.
Do you not think the races is best on the
You become a big boy. You become a big boy.
Yeah, I've got another picture in.
Yeah.
I did, it's great. Now that you, once you get fascinated with the underwear bomber, Rachel, I think a whole new world is going to open for you.
It's just, it's bizarre that they've got this picture of the underwears and the two syringes, and it's something out of James Bond, isn't it? It's something like Q would create.
It's all the humour, isn't it? It's all about fart jokes and...
It looks like some Adam West had wear that. He was hilarious. I liked Adam West. You filthy criminals.
Where's his watch? He should definitely have a watch with them. Shouldn't he? Spin the watch.
How they got us to believe all this bullshit back then. And people still do. Don't worry. Don't worry.
Hang on, Roger. They put a lot of...
Where the Unabomber? Unabomber? Is that the underpants bomber? The Unabomber, right? Is it the same?
The Unabomber was the guy who... wasn't he the guy who hid out in a cabin?
Yes, he was. Yep.
No.
It turned out to be totally related to everyone in the intelligence community. Or a military community. His dad was a general or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one.
You'd have to hide, wouldn't you, if you were wearing a unitard? You know, you would. I guess with the underpants bomber is like, because the hidden in plain sight is like, because nobody sees your underpants, but for the most part, do they? Your underpants are behind your jeans and whatnot, so it's not. It is actually hidden.
Unless you're from LA or any other inner city, you always see people's underpants.
Oh, that's right. I saw that in Australia. There was a little thing, where people, or young people, I'm saying, where they had their jeans halfway down their backsides.
Yeah, that's still going on.
And you could
on,
see their undies. What was that phase all about?
I think underwear's a conspiracy anyway.
In what way?
You don't need it? You don't need to wear it?
It probably causes problems. It's all tight around the groin, where, you know, the way that these ones are not so bad, the ones you're showing in that picture. But a lot of underwear, I think, causes circulation problems. And the other thing I think is a conspiracy is trousers that are belted around the waist instead of... If you look at the difference in trousers of people wearing in, say, in the 1940s, say like Clark Gable would wear, look at where the waist position of the belt is compared to now, and that causes problems at the top of the hips for the movement of the hips and causes problems at the hip joint.
Are you talking that it should be up above the belly button?
Kelly always.
Yeah, so the trousers in if you like, the 1940s were high-waisted, and now they're sort of hip-waisted.
Yeah, because they call it grandpa's pants or something now, don't they? If you hitch your... trousers up, like around your midsection.
Well, you need to hitch them above your hip joints, because what's happening is that people my age now often
But it's not fashionable to do that, Frank. Frank, it's not fashionable.
I'm not arguing, and that's why I just said it. I think it's a conspiracy to cause ill health.
It is. You can tell people used to wear clothes for comfort.
Yeah.
I mostly just walk around in just tracky dacks. That's what I wear for the most part. If I go out in public, I put a pair of jeans on, and I still use a leather belt. Yes, even though I'm a vegetarian, I've got a leather belt that my father strapped me with. Yes, and I got it, just to keep it, because I don't like hitting beings or whatever. I'm not into corporal punishment. Let's say it that way. So I got the leather belt my father strapped me with. So I use that. And, and I've got a wrist thing that I've got around my wrist. It's got beads on it. Two things my father gave me apart from his disappointment. The world's smallest violin playing for me. Thank you, Frank. There we go. FrankOliver.com.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
Yes, thank you, Ab. Yes, it is Wednesday, the 19th of September, 2018. We're joined by Frank, announcer Salt Per Day. Say good day.
Good night.
We're joined by Dave J. Say oi.
Hello.
And we're joined by Napoleon Wilson. Say hello. We're joined by Rachel and say
hello.
And we're all an umbrella, and we're all being taken seriously. So yes. So
you missed out, Phil.
Oh, you missed out. Oh, Phil Blanks joined us. Phil Blanks. Phil Blanks, say, bang!
Bang.
You know what I think is a tragedy? I haven't got a personal tragedy in my life. Dave and I had a 12-hour conversation with Phil Blanks on the shape of the earth the other day, and I don't think we recorded any of that audio.
Oh, no way.
No, I don't think we did. It was quite interesting, actually.
Oh,
that was a personal tragedy in my life.
Why? Right. Why did it didn't record? You somebody put the streamer bot in, and it didn't record.
It was recorded by somebody, but
we don't know who. Yeah.
Oh, fuck. All right. Well, I'm going for a smoke. Jeez. Okay. 12 hours. You've got 12 hours now to recant.
No, first of all, Phil.
You want me to recant? What do you want me to recant?
Yeah, 12 hours. Into the new show.
I think he's already got the bag in his mouth.
Are you convinced yet, Phil?
About what?
That the earth's flat.
I mean, it doesn't seem like that from video cameras on rockets.
Okay. Do you know how rockets work?
Not entirely.
Well, they need some atmosphere, you know, and it's virtually impossible to get really high enough to see if there's any curve. Most of them films are probably fake. Or doctored, you know, good chance.
Plus, your camera lens is round.
There you go, as well. But yeah, just saying, Phil. You know, rare overweights. You don't need to go far. You feel like you're spinning. You feel like you're spinning.
Well, that's John LeBon. He just joined us. He's a rounder.
No, but I ask everyone this anyway. Do you feel like you're spinning? That's all I know.
Yeah, I think it's rotating.
I'm spinning, do.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's just a simple question.
What do you find hard to accept about the rockets with the video cameras on them?
Just the measurements, height, things like that, anything you are shown, you know. I would like to see one that shows, like, maybe going up into space, one camera, straight up all the way, where you can see the Earth. You know,
yeah, look, I showed that. I got a video then.
No, I know. No. You see a home video of something like someone like holding a firework in front of the screen, you know, or you see like 10 seconds of a rocket taking off. Come on, Phil. But no, do you feel like you're spinning? Just
it's a continuous shot.
I know. What does that mean? What does that mean?
I mean, video evidence can be doctored, but I mean, doesn't it look believable itself?
No.
So rockets work in space now, then, do they?
That's what it looks like.
Well, they don't, do they? You know, you're an intelligent fella.
I don't see why they wouldn't.
Okay. You, right, 12 hours, you said, and you didn't tell them about rockets.
Yeah, I am of the view that one mass can push another away in a vacuum. And so I'm not with that rockets can't work in space.
So is that like picking yourself up with your own foot? Or does it have to be two separate masses that are not connected?
You know, I think if you're in a vacuum and one mass pushes another mass the other way, then the rocket can move forward. But I don't think it can do enough to do what
we have a terrestrial example of vacuum science, and that is in the semiconductor business, where you're actually sputtering metal onto silicon wafers in a vacuum chamber. And the only way that the metal is propelled from the source, or what's called the target, is that it's reverse polarity, meaning that it goes from a positive to negative type of ideal. You know, anode and a cathode environment. It's basically like a battery. So you have to have, there has got to be an attractive force in order to move it towards it. Otherwise, it just goes in the direction of that it's been expelled at, and it goes at a specific speed until that it runs into something else, until it impacts another, you know, whatever, shielding in this case, or the actual silicon wafer, depending on what you're building. So that's how that works, and that is a actual vacuum environment. But it doesn't propel itself, and it can't propel itself. It needs to have an attraction in order to be propelled towards it. So it doesn't, you know, work the way that it's popularly shown in cartoons. And I'll call it cartoons, really.
Yeah, so, agree.
And that's obviously powered externally.
Absolutely, it's powered externally. So we do have terrestrial examples of, you know, of this so-called science of the vacuum chamber. And like I said, I spent 15 years in semiconductor, and that's how that's done. However, it's a very specific process, and you do have to understand magnetic attraction, magnetic fields, things like that. And once you understand all that, it's much easier to get your arms around and your mind around the environment we live in.
Yeah. Hi, Steve. You said you worked for Western Digital and Seagate?
I'm not sure it's a vacuum anyway, so there you go. But,
I understand what you're saying, Napoleon. Rolo, you're, Western Digital.
Western Digital and Seagate. Yeah, you used to work for those two, yeah.
Yeah, and then also...
They're two of the best hard drives I've ever had. Yeah. They never failed on me. I don't want to name the ones that failed on me, but those two were bloody good for me. And now we've all got solid state stuff now. Yeah, the solid
well,
state.
Well, solid state is still the process to create the solid state environment, the chips used for that, is in fact still the same process that's used for read write heads. It's the same machinery. Vico is basically your biggest vacuum technology. Yeah. But then the ones that you'd go to for your photolithography would be Canon, Nikon, Ultratech Stepper. All of those people are in your handheld camera market, but these are also the biggest markets for your photolithography equipment. And let's just say a single photolithography machine, which is usually, well, it's up to now 10 lenses, but at the time it was 5, would go a little over $5 million a pop. That's how much these machines go for. They are very expensive.
Mm-hmm. Dave, you're talking like that. I just have to interrupt. For some reason, about a hoax.
Right.
The hoax that was played yesterday on the television was the idea that the President Trump has somehow committed a crime against the Chinese people by imposing tariffs on imported goods into the USA. Now, as far as I can understand, the only people being punished by those tariffs are the American people who have to import those goods from China now because all the US industry is shut down. Comments, please.
Oh, well, I guess this is just from, because I'm not much of a consumer anymore other than what I absolutely need. But anyways, I can tell you just from what I've noticed. Yeah, so you have a United States where people have gotten used to or basically trained into going to Walmart and places like that and getting these Chinese imports. And they're used to getting very cheap junk. Literally buying a toaster and using it until it breaks and throwing away and getting a new one instead of before you would go out and have it fixed because it was actually an investment. So now everybody's used to really just these disposable type appliances. And so, yeah, once you have that and you have the American, let's say, economy or the American infrastructure try to reintroduce the so-called American-made product, I see that there's going to be a lot of balking at the price difference, and then there will be a popular demand to get back a Chinese product. However, the businesses on either end aren't going to lose any money. They just pass the cost on to the end user, the consumer. So yeah. It's a win-win for everybody in business. So it's a win-win for the so-called government of the United States, and it's a win-win for the so-called government of China, because those that are actually in the business of making money make money regardless. It's fine. They're just going to take more money at the end of the day out of the pocket of the consumer.
Exactly.
To where then guess what? As people spend more of their weekly paycheck, they have less and less to then to go out and kind of spend on their own. So they're really subject to their own spending habits, and they just become more in debt and more enslaved, because guess what? Credit's going to start to go up because people are going to want more credit card, and you see how it's just going to snowball. So banks aren't going to lose. The business isn't going to lose. So-called governments aren't going to lose. None of those people lose in any of this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I was just enjoying the way it was portrayed as President Bush sticking it up the evil Chinese guys. It was interesting.
Yeah, I consider it a three-ring circus. This entire, you have so-called three units of government in the United States. It's nothing more than a three-ring circus under one big tent. And so when you walk into the tent, expect to see a circus.
Yeah, and
let me put you on the spot.
Yeah, go. Keep going, Frank.
Tell me what you think about the needle in the strawberry haystack.
Oh, boy.
Have you heard about our thing, Dave J?
I actually saw something about, Australians finding needles in strawberries or something.
And so they're shutting down the strawberry farmers of Australia. Oh,
that's an old gag. I mean, you know where they used to pull that?
Where? Tell me where.
In the United States, they used to claim that people were finding needles in candy.
Yeah, and there were like, hypos in Pepsi cans, remember? Remember there were hypodermics?
It's like an oldie but a goodie. It's one of those oldie but a goodie.
And even if, let's say it's true, right? The chances of anyone dying from, biting, having a needle stick to the roof of their mouth, the 1 in 9 million possibility that you're going to do it, the reaction is ridiculous anyway.
I guess if you want to look at then what the actual real story behind that is.
I do, yeah.
Ask yourself or ask the market, where then are these strawberries going to come from that are going to replace the Australian strawberry? They're going to come from somewhere else. Therefore, that's the answer to your story.
Correct. That's exactly my view, yeah.
So not only because you don't want to just create a choice, because if you put Australian strawberries and Chinese strawberries, people are going to say, I guess I'll take the homegrown stuff. You want to be able to put a stigma on one of them. You want people to actively look for an alternative. So they look for an alternative market. And then guess what? You supply them that alternative market. They never lose because they're running the show.
That's the Australians, I tell you. They're bad.
And the thing with strawberries is too, because there were different varieties. So you had like the ones that they picked were the ones that the ones that last the longest on the supermarket shelf or whatever, under plastic or whatever in a yeah, because apparently back in the day, you get strawberries that taste so good. It was like ecstasy or, some sort of drug you'd take. They tasted that good. But we don't have them anymore. We have these, things that are like rocks.
Well, strawberries are so easy to grow, though, that you could actually just pick them, grow them, and pick them off.
I'm talking about varieties of different, different wines, different... Yeah, there's different potatoes, different varieties, and there were these, when you went back in the day, look, I'm just saying that everyone's got to sort of deal with things being transported. Like, just say you lived in a, back in the day, and there were no vehicles, so you couldn't get strawberries.
I did live back in the day.
We all did. It's just crazy that we live in a day now that we can get anything at any time of the year. Doesn't matter what it is, in season, out of season, doesn't matter to us anymore, does it? It's hilarious.
But I tell you what, I went and got some mangoes the other day. And
ooh, yuck.
Oh, I love mangoes. But anyways,
I'll put them in my bra when I'm pretending to be a woman. I'll put two mangoes down in a bra.
Right.
When I'm dressing up to be a woman, I do that.
So what, do you go through about 8-10 mangoes a week that way?
I just get
No, you're not kidding.
I missed the gag, but that was
you, good. No, that's the most serious you've ever been when you just said that you dress up as a woman. Everybody.
I do.
I know you do. Nothing's wrong with it, as far as I'm concerned. You go. Yeah, you do your thing, Rollo. Whatever makes you feel good.
Anyway, back to the mango story. You've got me. I'm anticipating mangoes now.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, I'm kind of a little bit. I was confused there for a minute. But anyway, so over in the Philippines, I used to get mangoes off the actual tree. And then, eat them fresh. And they were just so, so nice and sweet. But then I got the one here at the Asian market here. And it just, to me, there wasn't a lot of juice in it. And it was from South America somewhere. It felt dry to me, and it was fibery. So when you pulled the so-called meat of the mango off, it was very fibrous. It wasn't very good. And it was again, like Rollo said, it was one of those types that is grown for longevity versus taste.
So it was more your silicon breast as opposed to your
right
breast.
Yeah, absolutely. So the mangoes over in the Philippines, the fresh ones off the, when you collect them and eat them, they're very much like, almost like an ice cream. They're so creamy. Very good.
Yeah. See, Dave, you've obviously never watched It Ain't Half. I was actually doing a rip on that, but that's okay.
It's all right.
And don't worry, people in the past, I think, what was his name? The fellow from the JFK had... No, J. Edgar Hoover. He was a classic cross dresser, and so was that dude who Giuliani. He liked dressing up in women's clothing as well.
Do you reckon any of those stories are true, Rollo?
So Rollo, just so that we don't forget, I just want to say that.
Go for it. Put it on the record.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm actually very proud of you for coming out and telling everybody you like to cross-dress and use mangoes in your bra. I'm glad you finally got that out.
I'm glad I did too.
Now people will never look at mangoes the same.
It's all good, man. I mean, if I don't have mangoes, I'll just use avocados or whatever's
cantaloupes.
Cantaloupes, yeah. Actually, we call them rock melons here in Australia. Rock melons.
I think we should call them woman goes.
Woman?
Mangoes. Woman what? No, but then again...
Woman goes. Women, we should call them woman goes.
Women don't need them. Men do.
men can go into a woman, can't they, by putting mangoes in their house. And we can actually open radiation therapy clinics for the fibrous mangoes.
The fibrous mangoes, yeah. It's quite depressing when I got those. I was a bit of, it was a yuck.
So now you have to jump on a plane, head back home.
Basically.
Back to the real thing.
Get the real mangoes. Well, bananas are the same way. Bananas, the bananas that grow in the jungle there are these more short, stubby ones versus these long, yellow ones that they have here. Like the Chiquita type. I don't know if you get the Chiquita type bananas in Australia or England.
I think we only get Cavendish.
Oh, okay. Are they the short, stubby ones?
No.
And you know what they do to them, Dave? To actually ripen them, they stick them in a thing and CO2 them or something to force ripen them. And so they don't get sweet anyway. So what's the point of bananas in Australia unless you can actually get them from a market where they haven't been force ripened? With gas, they force ripen them in gas here in Australia.
It's not a CO2 though.
Yeah, but the thing is that they don't sweeten up naturally. And it's nothing wrong with putting plastic around them and whatnot, and getting them to ripen that way. But force ripening them doesn't work. Not for me.
So what about that woman that Ab was always promoting, the banana woman?
Oh yeah, she was lovely. She was ugly. She was ugly. She was overweight. She was like, oh my gosh, she had three chins at like 20, and then she lost all the weight. She was with that Jurian Ryder guy, and yeah, she. And then afterwards, I mean, she was absolutely gorgeous. I mean, there's not a man on the world that wouldn't be attracted to her, unless you're a homosexual, I guess. yeah. Yeah, she was like 30 bananas a day. That was their big click thing.
So click she's
bait, clickbait thing, yeah. Go again?
Is she still doing her thing?
I don't know. No, I've lost interest in all of it.
The only reason I know those two people that they actually participated in, I'm trying to remember what the hoax was at the time, putting out a video claiming that certain people died during a hoax, and they were called out on that. At least I did. I put out a video calling them their nonsense.
I wasn't sure that I were into that sort of business, but there you go.
Well, they poked their head up one time at least, and that's what drew my attention to them.
It's probably this, because Ab's got a thing for beauty, and there's no doubt about it that the banana girl is beautiful. I'll just say it again. Yeah, you look a normal, hot, red-blooded male, even if he's had two wanks, would still look at her and go, I've got something left for her. Sorry, but that's the way it works for me. Oh, we lost someone on that gag, did we? Yeah. That was a Rodney Reed's old joke, wasn't it? Do you remember Rodney Reed, Frank? He'd say your old girlfriend rings you up and says, "Oh, look, I haven't seen you for years. How about a fuck?" And he's just had a wank. Doesn't that suck? But he said it in a lot funnier way, because I'm not a stand-up comedian. He was. Is he still with us, Roger? He got arrested in Queensland for saying nasty things about Queensland cops. Now, what? I can't even remember what he said, but I don't think it was that bad.
Publicity something.
You think it was?
I sure do. Sounds like it, just from the description.
Yeah, Rodney Reed. Let's see if he's still with us. Yes, he is, 75 years old. He was born on 29th of January, 1940. Rodney Reed, Australian blues stand-up comedian, poet and writer, best known for bawdy humor.
Yep. Oh, hey, Frank, did you ever see my Randy Rhodes is Randy Rhodes video?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. I'm trying to find that one so I can put it back up.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
Randy Rhodes from Black Sabbath?
No, Ozzy Osbourne.
Ozzy Osbourne, yeah.
Crazy Train.
I think I've seen all of your vids, Dave. I'd be surprised if I haven't.
Okay, good.
My favorite ones, though, I think I've told you this before, were the optical ones.
Oh, right, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, and I also like the thing where you talked about the sound, you know, the colors turning into sound.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I enjoy that stuff, too. Just not a lot of people get into that, so it's, you know, it's hard to, because I look for feedback, kind of. So I put it out, and I look for feedback on kind of on what people, where they want more description or where they want me to talk about it even deeper.
I think I did put feedback on the vids at the time. I can't remember.
Right. And then I think you might have been the reason I did more of them. But then it's, after a while, it's very few people that actually tend to watch those through the end.
I mean, just as an aside, the story that, you know, about that Newton thought light was particles and so on, that, you know, completely derailed people for, well, it's derailed people since about 1900, really.
Right.
I then saw, I mean, you're familiar with the idea that Newton said light is particular, corpuscular.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw a video less than a year ago, talking about how Newton was the first guy to work out that light was waves.
Yeah.
It's like rewriting history.
Yeah, that's quite strange. Yeah, because I always talk about the idea of the sine wave and how you can relate everything into wave pattern, being that when you go back to the word, and the word was, and then what is a word but a sound wave, so that creation is basically the product of a wave.
Yeah.
And so then the echo of that initial wave is going to be more waves. So
this particular thing that annoyed me about this video was creating, you know, sort of restating Newton as some kind of wave guy when he was the antithesis of that. It really irritated me.
Then they get to keep their little guy. They get to, because they invested a lot in that character.
That's now right. They change their own image.
Yeah, they just rephrase the script a little bit, and there they get to keep their character. For a new generation and people who don't look into it or don't find, you know, something that's left over won't see the contradiction. You know, they'll be taught. They'll be taught the new Newton. See, isn't it funny that news in Newton?
Also, do you think it's possible that he has that name because it always is associated with newness? That's a really powerful thought.
Well, it's interesting that new is in Newton because they basically created a new character out of him.
Yeah.
So we've actually been joined by an old voice. Felix Xyloflex, do you want to unmute? You're welcome to the conversation, mate. From England. Felix, if you just want to unmute.
Felix the cat. The wonderful, wonderful cat.
The wonderful, wonderful cat. He's lovely. No, he can't. Oh, he's just sent me a message. He can't chat. All right. Okay, keep going, guys. So we're here with Answer Salt, Dave Jade, John LeBon, if he wants to unmute, maybe he's at work, I don't know. Napoleon Wilson, Phil Blanks, Rachel, Silverbeam, and Xyloflex, and Rollo. Yeah. So keep going. Don't mean to, because the conversation goes deeper sometimes and then shallows out when I come in. But I thought Felix, it would be lovely to have Felix here, but...
I've got to disappear. I'm going to make a personal statement and a brag as I disappear.
Go for it. Yep.
I'm going to say I am the smartest guy on the planet about the shape of the Earth, and I'm laying down a public challenge to anyone that wants to dialogue with me on that topic.
I wonder where you're going with this, Frank. Frank,
I'm going to be here every morning for the next... the next 3 days and every morning for the next 5 days after that. My time, say, from 7 a.m., I'll be here I'll probably go into the audio live stream.
John LeBon, do you just want to unmute?
Every morning, I'll have a debate with myself, declaring myself the world champion on the shape of the Earth and making myself available for anyone to topple me from my throne. Just putting it out there before I head off.
John LeBon, do you want to unmute?
I
think that's where you're going. I think that's where he's going.
It's John LeBon here. Are you kidding me? I didn't even know that.
He's right there.
Did I stand
disengaged? I assume that's why you were being so bad. Not disingenuous. I don't think you're being disingenuous. It would be fucking hilarious if you ask me. I'm going for a smoke. I'll be right back.
All right, well, I've got to bail out. Thank you for the chat.
Nice to meet you, Frank.
Bye now. So, Rachel, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Is anybody else speaking?
No, it's just everybody's got their mic silenced.
I don't know what to talk about.
So I guess, not too much going on otherwise. Did you have a big conversation before, earlier today?
It was a bit of it switched between a few topics. As I say, Silverbeam was talking about good and evil. That was quite interesting, that.
Okay, very cool.
Yeah.
I was thinking of a movie, actually. Silver Beam always reminds me of it. I think it was called Silver Streak, which was, I'm trying to remember the guy's name now who was in it, and I recall it as being a funny movie at the time. That's just something that popped in my head, or it pops in my head every time I see his name. Silver Streak. I believe it's the name of it's a movie that takes place on a train. The Silver Streak is the name of the train. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I'm basically I've done as well. I have not too much to say.
I've sort of I've reached a bit of a blank.
Yeah. I fill blanks. So nothing to fill your blanks with. Right. Yeah, so I did some work at the old folks home today.
Mm-hmm.
Today was really, it was the oxygen machines is what I was working on. I was working on the oxygen machines, getting those up to snuff. You have to clean out the filtering system, change out all the tubing and whatnot, because you don't want anything to contaminate those lines. So that happens once a month. That's what I was up to today. You know. And tomorrow will be another fantastic day.
I think it looks like so. Yeah.
I tell you, it reminds me, and I'm not sure a lot of people have seen it, but the Derek that.
Ricky DeVries.
Yeah, the show Derek. So I play the character played by who's his sidekick? Ricky Gervais' sidekick, the Pilkington. Yeah.
Pilkington, yeah.
Yeah, so I would, if we made a movie of my work, I would be played by the Pilkington character. That's the role I fill at the old folks home.
Yes.
The fix it guy. Oh, I also worked on a rooftop AC unit today, because the kitchen was getting hot during the day. It was
blah, blah, bling, bling, blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah, yeah. Bling, bling, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. It's so good. I'm back. The pub's going to be open in about half an hour. I'm going to get out and grab some more booze. But, nice.
Very
keep
cool.
going.
Yeah, no, it was getting up to 85 degrees or so in the kitchen. That's just
Crazy. Man, last Saturday here in Australia was ridiculous. It was so friggin' hot. And then Sunday was so cold. And I went and saw, Dragon. On Saturday, it was just ridiculously hot and ridiculously cold. And I had listened to I think it was Rick, and they were talking about climate change or what do they call it?
Yeah.
It was global warming, and they changed the
climate change.
Bullshit. Yeah. That bull crap. And I couldn't agree more that these people in Europe or whoever invented the whole idea of let's go to uni and get a degree in climate science or something. What a waste of time. What a waste of time. Pick up a guitar and fucking learn how to play it, or learn how to play the piano or something.
So let me ask you something. So when you say when you go to the pub, do you walk into the pub and put money down and they hand you a bottle in a brown bag and you walk back out?
That's an off-license. Yeah, an off-license. Or in Australia it's called like a sort of takeaway type. Yeah, you're right.
That's what it is.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
Oh, okay. You don't drink it there? Like, you don't just say, give me the bottle?
Yeah, I do.
Give me the bottle and
like
a shot glass?
I do shotties. I interviewed a guy called Dick. I'm going to do a lot more of these Vox Pops things where I've got this camera now, and I just point it at people and just say, were there planes on 9/11? And see what they say. I've got a whole bunch of them in the can now. That's what I'm going to do, because I can get on with people. I don't charm the pants off women, but I haven't done that in years. But, well, except Rachel, of course. What color are they today, Rachel? But no, I'm just saying, back in the day, that was one of my main interests.
Right.
As young men were into.
Now talk to Dick, is what I understand.
Well, I was actually going to call it playing with Dick, or my Dick. He's a New Zealander guy, yeah, and I just got chatting with him, and he wanted to talk about 9/11, and I don't know where it went. Where did the conversation go? Only went for about 5 minutes, and
was this at the
then
pub?
Then we got drinking, and then none of the rest of it was. I couldn't put any of that to air, you know what I mean?
So what type?
That's in the members only section.
So what type of bar is this? Is it one with a jukebox?
It doesn't matter what bar it is. It could be any bar here in Newcastle or anywhere. But if someone's prepared for me to point a camera at them, Look, I spoke to the lead singer, Mark Williams, and I didn't say much because he was leaving, but I got him to say fakeologist.com, and I thought that was pretty nice. Cool. Yeah.
I haven't been in a bar and shoot probably over 10 years, maybe.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, I don't sort of hang out in bars anymore. So.
No,
I still like a drink, though. So, go, Rach. Yeah.
No, I was going to say, I don't think many people do. They're closing all over the place, are they?
Yeah, they've raised the, to get a schooner now is like $5 even in a normal pub.
So people like to drink alone. Yeah, with nobody else.
If I've got a drink in my hand now, Dave, like, come on, am I alone? I mean, no. You're my virtual friend, right?
Right.
Exactly. So there you go. I'm not drinking alone. So there you go.
That's true.
Yeah. John LeBron has a problem with my drinking, but that's all right. He'll get over it. Especially when we meet up on the 29th. We're going to get out of...
Are you all going on the cruise?
On the cruise with PK.
Are you really going on the cruise with PK?
I'd love to do it. Yeah, absolutely.
I thought that he told John, I thought I saw a comment about him that he told him to F off. Because he...
Oh, John... PK?
John, what's his name? PK told John LeBron to
fuck off.
Yeah,
don't come.
Well, because I guess he didn't properly respond to his comments or something quick enough.
Wow.
Which I thought was a bit rude.
PK is rude.
Well, he's a big blowhard.
Have you seen PK when he's ripping on some vapes in Melbourne? I'll find the video. It's
let me tell you about my only interaction with this guy, with this PK guy, was that he took my Boston smoke bomb meme from me. Because I went out and I called it a smoke bomb. And next thing you know, this guy's using it. That's his runaway line now.
The truth bomb.
He nicked the smoke bomb.
Yeah,
he nicked those words from me. He nicked them without any conscience.
Right. That's interesting.
Yeah, so that's my interaction with that guy.
I thought his biggest thing was the truth bomb, when you truth bomb things.
That was
me. I thought he called it the Boston firecracker or something.
Yeah, he called it the firecracker, and then he started calling it the smoke bomb. Well, I think he kind of depends on how much he was drinking. Maybe it was the firecracker smoke bomb. Sometimes he combined them.
I don't even think he drinks that much, does he?
Maybe it's all leftover seeping out of his fat cells.
PK.
Well, maybe he's just an actor acting drunk half the time. Maybe, I don't know. I've never gotten a real good vibe from the guy. Let's be honest, right? We're all friends here, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm going to be honest with you. I don't trust the guy. Period.
Right.
I don't think he's I don't think he's in any of this for the right reason. So that's just my...
Well, we can ask him that when we get down on the 29th. If we do go down to Melbourne.
I don't know who he is.
Oh, he's... Boston was his big thing. Boston, what I remember him from. Back in the day. And apart from him and Jeffrey C, having these massive fights all the time.
Do you know that Joker is still, Jeffrey C is still claiming that they popped the top off of JFK's body. You know, he's still claiming they popped that guy's top off.
Right.
Still to this day, this second, he still puts all that out. As if those people, they never learned anything. They're as bad as watching the so-called news channels. You might as well be watching Fox or CNN.
Yeah,
and all those channels.
I didn't like it.
If you listen to that guy.
I never liked him.
Yeah.
Like I said with JLB the other night, I waited for an hour to talk to him, and he never watched Simon Shack, and he just...
When did Jeff C. talk to John LeBron? Other than a long time ago.
Jeff C, yeah, it was years back. It was like...
Oh, years. That's what I thought.
Three or four years back, yeah.
I recall.
Ah, man, I wouldn't piss on Jeffrey if he was on fire. I think the guy's a scumbag of the highest order. But unless he changes his, and if he's changed the way he looks at truth or images that you see, like I said to him, you never watch September Clues. So he was still saying that, you know, military planes hitting the towers and whatnot. And I'm just going, what the? All right, so there was a, but we didn't even get a chance to, like, because Simon Schack recanted on the missile thing.
Right.
You know, he recanted on Simon Schack, and that's where, what's his name, Marcus Allen was having to go at Simon Schack. He just couldn't be fucked making another, like, September Clues version 3, taking that bit out. He just didn't want to.
Right.
I could probably do it, but, like, what's the point?
Well, it's old news now. It's just the way it is. I told you before that the 9/11 story is nothing more than it's been repeated. It goes back to even when you look at the understanding of the towers coming down or the saying, bringing the house down. The 9/11 story even played back to the Civil War hoax. Well, I told you this before, right, where the Fort Sumter was attacked by a so-called Indian, which was called a terrorist at the time, and the shape of the Fort Sumter was that of a pentagon, just like the so-called Pentagon was attacked, quote-unquote, on 9/11. So you have the same story that replays throughout so-called history, and history is nothing more than a flip book that has only so many pages before the story gets retold in a new context. So you have to use, so what's used with the modern day hoax is what's available to the modern day world. And that just so happened to be those towers, but they were built for that purpose and they fulfilled that goal. The goal was to take them down and they came down. That's what that is. And like I say, there's going to be another one in the future. And I'm saying it's going to be the so-called Freedom Tower only because it's going to make three
you
holes.
Think that's going to come down, dude?
Yeah, because it's going to make three holes in the ground and it's going to mimic the placement of the so-called Giza Plateau, where they have the Egyptian hoax, and they have those so-called pyramids there. So you have those reflecting pools, or in New York now, where you have two of them now, where the two buildings were, and you have those pits. There's going to be a third pit, and it's going to be basically nothing more than another rendition of the same thing. So at some point, that thing has been built to come down. Its purpose is to come down in the future. And then that will, because like I said, the 9/11 story, which is now almost, it's closer to 20 years old, you know, than it is, you know, 15 now. It's what, 18 years old now, basically, or 17? So you're looking at, this thing is almost 20 years ago. And the repercussions of that hoax are still being felt today in what's being put out as, limitations on people's personal freedoms and their travels. And anytime they want to put a limitation on you or a restriction, they'll bring up that old canard, the 9/11 attacks. So then guess what? At some point, once it loses its cachet and its power, then you need a new set point or a new bookmark. And once the new bookmark's set, another event happens, then you get to move forward again full steam and you get a fresh head of steam because another event happened. And then that, to me, what moves it kind of into that, what
well,
I see in my lifetime as
Dave,
a
Dave, I don't want it moved on.
Well, I know.
I like him prattling on about, certainly here at Fakeologist.
But at some point, you have to look forward.
No,
You do?
Not in my lifetime, no.
You will? How old are you?
48.
Oh, if you're a young guy, come on now. You have another event in your future, and it's going to go for another 20 years.
No, I'm going to spend the rest of my life prattling on about 9/11, because I'm so cranky about it, and, I won't let it go. I've got this, what is it? When I've been bullshitted and all that crap that I went through, I want, before I die, before I shuffle off this mortal coil, I want John Howard certainly to be held accountable.
For what?
I want George W. Bush and Dick Cheney and those. I think Dick's probably going to almost on his last legs. But I want them to be held accountable.
And I'm going to give you an opening here. Surely you're joking. Surely.
I'm not joking.
Because it's almost like you went to a movie. You went to Star Wars and you watched Star Wars, and you want.
Nope, it's not like that at all.
Yeah, it is. You want certain characters within the movie to be held responsible for an action. They're not because they were just.
I want them.
But they're to never good.
Then their handlers to squeal. Like, I want whoever dreamt up 9/11, because somebody did. Whoever placed those shape charges in those towers and brought them down, whatever we saw on the day was a movie. I believe that to be true, absolutely, because there's, I mean, the Judy Wood and the whole towers floating from the top down is false. But I want whoever created the movie and whoever, the top mind that said, let's do this. I want that person to be because why do that to us? Because I am so cranky about going through airports and copping bullshit because of this bullshit terrorism that was created basically from that day. I want to go to an airport and not have my nuts grabbed or be put through some machine.
You ain't seen nothing.
I'd have to wait in a goddamn line and take everything out of my pockets and take the belt off and all that and treated as someone who's done something wrong where I have done nothing wrong.
You've seen nothing yet because that's only the tip of the iceberg, as the saying goes, because the next event's going to push you even farther. So you are actually living at a point to where in the future you'll look back and say, I remember back when I only used to get my nuts grabbed and I had to remove my belt. You'll be remembering that fondly, not just
where I can't go out at night. There'll be something like when the sun goes down. Back in like Nazi Germany, they said there were a thing. What's it called? Where you can't go out at night.
Curfew.
Curfew.
Right.
Yeah. Bullshit. There's no way I'm going to cope with that.
Well, curfews. I mean, that's
or like show me your papers at any point. Like a cop comes and shows you papers. No, you've got to. No, you can't just say.
You ain't seen nothing yet.
Yeah.
You ain't seen nothing yet.
If I'm going to say that. But that's fear-based stuff.
I'm just telling you.
Surely. Things can only get better. Things can only get better. Come on. By what we're saying here, things can only get better. They can't get worse, surely.
As far as I guess worse is a point of perspective because all of this stuff and no, hold on. Let me finish. Yeah. All of this stuff happens with the consent of the governed, meaning that people demand this stuff to happen. So it will happen if the people demand it to happen. And events cause the demand and people like you are not in the majority. People like me are not in the majority. So then guess what? Everything that happens will not be because some boogeyman put it over them. It is because the people, the so-called popular consensus is that they wanted it to happen.
Mm.
So just remember that.
Don't worry. Everybody's in the same boat. Like, come on, Dave. Everybody's in the same boat. Even those who, even the top level, if you think it's Soros or, I don't know, Murdoch or someone unnamed, or Queen Elizabeth, or whatever. As long as what we're doing here is free, like here in our little echo chamber at Fakeologists is tiny, but even like people who get 100,000 views per day on their videos, like that Sargon of whatever, or Dave Cullen, he gets 30,000 views per day. You know, these sort of people, it's still a drop in the ocean, but you just got to do it. Otherwise, I mean, Go, Reg.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. You've got to put your head above the parapet, haven't you?
I think so. Yeah. Count Dankula, he's one of my favorites. Yeah, he's good. Yeah, he went there over to the European Union, try and said, I mean,
but again, it's like you're talking about somebody walking onto the play because government's a play. You're not going to go there and then become some game changer that says, oh, wait, we had it all wrong. Let's stop doing this. Rolo's right. Let's vote him in and he'll make everything all better. It's a done deal.
How about that? Dave, would you vote for me?
I don't vote, so no. Sorry.
If I was ruling the world, not everybody wants to rule the world. I just want to rule the world. Would you vote for me?
I would have nothing to do with it. I would have
No way. If I ruled the world, everybody could do whatever the hell they wanted.
What you want to do is the opposite to globalism, and I cut places down into an area where the people inside it can manage the area. As soon as you get overlords, you get cheating. I mean, big scale cheating.
That even happens at the local level, at like the mayor's office, and where. Yes. Let's say, for example, like this. Even in the smallest town, USA, you have a mayor who is in charge of zoning, and zoning is very important. Zoning is where you take so-called government-owned land and you proportion it out for specific use. Now, if you're a developer, let's say Rolo's got a construction company, and you've got an inn at my office, all you do is you say, hey, Dave, what do you got going on with parcel A, B, C, and D? I say, well, parcel A, B, and C are going to be zoned industrial. D is going to be residential. Guess what? You buy those lots, and then you go ahead and you have a leg up on the bidding to put in the A, B, and C for the businesses, would mean you put a mini mart or a million shopping.
That's why I want to be way above that.
This goes to the smallest town. That's what I'm saying. Right? People are corrupt.
I've seen corruption.
At the smallest level. I've seen it. Yeah. You have corruption within the family, man. You're within your own family. You have corruption. So that's what I'm saying. It's a pipe dream.
Like someone gives you the wrong change. They give you.
It's a pipe dream to believe that you're gonna all you can do is control yourself and the interaction you have with other people. That's the best you can hope for.
Thank you, Dave. Right. John LeBond's always said that about you. You always cut to the chase. There you go. That's it. That's the simplest way to do it. Right. Say it again.
There might not be anybody in control, really. It might just be the systems out of control. It might be that there's nobody driving. That's why we're here.
Yeah, well, I mean, like I said, we could
I almost got told it was the snake eating his tail. Sorry, Dave.
No, I was saying we could all fit in a house at the end of a cul-de-sac on a street that nobody can find. You know, the amount of influence we have. Right?
At least you got a sense of humor. I mean, sense of humor. If you don't have that, I mean, Christ. What have you got?
We've seen the promised land, man. We've already seen the promised land. If you choose to go back into the mire, that's on you.
Good point. Well, I'll be back. I'm going to go, but I want to thank everyone who came, especially Silverbeam. For Silverbeam, he was firing back and forth. Yeah, that was good.
Yeah,
and Frank, like Frankie Boy.
More from him.
Frank
the Soccer. Napoleon.
Yeah.
And who else?
Don't forget Thomas D.
Oh, Tom Dalper, yeah. And who else?
My good buddy.
Yeah, he's all right. Who else? Phil Blanks.
Filling those blanks.
Anyone else?
John LeBond.
No, I think John hasn't spoke today. No,
oh, he hasn't spoke?
No. Who else? When I came in, just trying to think.
Napoleon.
Oh, Wilson, yeah.
Napoleon Wilson has some stuff to say.
So I'll leave you guys at it. I'll be away for about half an hour or so, or an hour, and I'll keep listening. But
I'm actually about to scoot as well.
Hey, good on you, Dave. Okay, keep it real.
Cheers.
Keep it real. MikeGorgeous.com. Keep it real.
See ya.
See you, Rachel. Bye-bye again.
See you again, Dave.
Cheers. Bye.
Hello, everybody. This is Oedic Luna. I'm from Florida, and you're listening to Fair Colleges Radio at FairColleges.com.